Hello, and welcome to the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press and beyond makes all kind of noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask of Mars, and joining me this week, as always, are the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the man who only comes down your chimney if you pay him enough, it's Tony Esmond.
Hey! Okay. You changed up a bit at the start there. Is this the new us? Are we Mark? Are we 2.0 or something? Or because we missed a week? That's good.
Yeah. 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 We had to miss a week because we were restarting.
rebooting.
Yeah.
We're going to start from episode one again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, please, no.
All new creative team.
So, in about like 20 episodes' time, we'll just go back to the old numbering.
Yeah. Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah. So, yes, we, for those who have been following us weekly, we had to miss a week, which broke my heart and infuriated me on so many levels.
You were very angry.
Yeah.
Me and Dan said, "Lol, let's not ask him too much because he sounds too angry."
Yes. Well, do you want to know the reason why our technical issue, why we couldn't do
go for it?
Yeah. Is it a sheep ate through the cable?
Essentially, yes. Someone ran out of 50 pence pieces to put in the meter. Yeah. No, we had neighbours move in next door, and the blokes that came along to switch on their internet basically disconnected ours.
Oh, yeah, that's unbelievable. This is Virgin Media, name and shame.
Yeah,
because they did the same thing to me. I was like a week and a half because there were problems in the road with the internet, so they put a limiter on our house, so it just stopped all the internet going to our house.
How can you limit Dan Butcher?
I meant to watch pornography if that happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's weird because you think, oh, the internet, so I could do about that, and then you go about for a few days and you're willing to fucking kill someone.
Yeah, exactly.
I went through all of the stages. I went through anger, like depression, denial. I went through everything. Excellent. And then I made peace with it and just started watching DVDs, you know.
Such a knob. I worked through my DVD collection and then I moved on to Betamax.
I was on the third volume of Steam Railways before I came back on. No, but we're back on cooking, and I will say that the man that switched the internet back on was a very nice chap. So,
good.
Yeah. So,
what did you have to do to get your internet turned back on? Is there something you need to tell us off air?
It's a love that dare not speak its name. But we're back, baby. We're back.
We're back.
I can't finish that quote from Lethal Weapon.
We're shit.
We are as bad as ever.
And do you know what was also back? Comic House.
Yeah. They're not back, Tony. They've always been here. And do you know why?
They've never gone away. Do you know who's never gone away? Comic House.
they're still there. And they're the place to go to find a huge range of awesome small press and independent comics and graphic novels. As my good friend Tony once said, they stick around. They don't let you down like us. You'll find titles such as Kid Monkey, Lizard Men, Midnight Man, and the recently released issue 9 of the Comic House anthology available to name but a few. You can order hard copies from comichouse.com. If you want to read them digitally, then sign up to the Netflix of indie comics, the Comic House app, which looks lovely. I can see that Vanguard is on there. I don't know why I said it like that. Vanguard.
Yeah, that's on there.
That was the poshest way I've ever said it, but that's on there on the homepage.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it flashes up along the top, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's on the homepage. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Where's quality, Dan?
Get the money pouring in, bringing it on.
Yeah, make it rain. and that's all on the Comic House app. There you'll be able to read any of their growing catalogue of titles for a price of just £3 a month. It's ridiculous the value that is.
Yes.
So don't waste any more time listening to us knobheads. So sign up today. And I'm saying that to comic readers and creators alike because it's well worth getting
yeah.
It. Yeah,
I read something this week on there. Forgive me for not remembering the name of it, but it was about people who did a robbery at a comic convention dressed as cosplayers, and it revealed what I've always suspected about cosplayers is that they are all criminals.
Was it an autobiographical book?
Yes.
I wouldn't have thought there'd been much money knocking around a convention, but there you go. True.
Well, all the money they make on those Japanese food stalls, you think they'll be right.
Yeah.
buy a drinking horn. That'll only cost you a tenner.
Yeah.
There's a, what do you call it, White Noir? Matt Garvey's, that was on there as well, I noticed.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, it is, yeah.
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 That's a lovely comic.
Great books automatic, gone on there, loads of things, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Penguins. Awesome. He gave us a little shout out today. You missed Penguin. Thank you, dude. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Comic House. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yes, it is episode 128. And wow. as we record this, Christmas is just around the corner. Can you hear the bells?
Have you got my presents?
Can hear three bells end.
Where are you?
Dan stumbled his way through that joke. and it still landed, because that's what he does. Yeah. He doesn't mess around.
The presents.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I haven't got your present yet, Tony. But I got Dan. I got Dan.
Am I not right with you yet, or
no?
Oh, okay.
It's annoying because I thought I sent you guys a couple of presents. I thought they're both going to come out on. You're going to get them on Monday, and then I got an email saying, "Oh, one of them's out today." I was like, "Oh, okay."
Okay. It's been a bit. I got snowed in this week.
Oh shit!
I managed to make it out to work, but I had to It took me a while, and my car stayed in the same place for about 3 days. Snowed in. I couldn't get up the hill.
Blimey.
It was too icy. Right, it's pretty bad up here.
I've got three questions for you then. Right, yep. It's snow. So, one, did you make a snowman?
No.
Two, did you make a snow angel?
Yeah, I did actually.
Nice. And three, did you eat any of the yellow snow?
No balls. What? He's much forgotten, isn't it, Frank Zappa? You never hear about him anymore, do you? It's a shame, isn't it? I quite like Frank Zappa.
Yeah, I thought you would.
Yeah.
Yes, Christmas is just around the corner. But if you're listening, if you're just starting to catch up on the show and it's June or something, sorry, but you missed out when we recorded this at the time. It was amazing and we wish it could have been here, but never mind. even more exciting than Christmas and New Year, etc., we're going to be talking about some of the Awesome Pods highlights of 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a year. That's all I've got.
I'm definitely going forward from this point. I think I'm going to start making notes as the year goes on. So I've got something to draw on.
Yeah.
Because basically I'm drawing from memory, which is not my strong suit, to be honest.
Yes, we got a bunch of categories, which are Tony Esmond organised.
I wrote it out, and then you added a couple, didn't you?
Yeah.
One of them, actually, that can't be this year, and it turned out it was.
Yeah.
It's been a weird year.
Yeah, it's sort of a year where you're not quite sure when you... It's disappeared really quickly, but it's also felt like it's taken forever.
it's a strange one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you to everyone that's been listening to the show for this year.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think it's fair to say, if you don't hear your name called out, we still love you.
Yeah, God, yeah.
Yeah.
And I will actually make love to you.
But look out for that audio on one of the shows next year. yes. But this is not... In the strictest sense, there is best of lists flying all over the internet at the moment, and rightfully so. There's amazing titles being shouted about, and lists, polls, you know, all kinds of things. But what we're talking about on this show is we're just picking out some of our highlights. We don't play favourites as it were, but these are just some of the things that we wanted to talk about again. Really, is that the best way to say it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Things that struck a nerve with us, things that we personally enjoyed, you know. As I've enjoyed fucking loads of stuff this year. Mainstream, and we're also crossing the mainstream and small press, so everyone's a comic creator. Everyone deserves a shout as far as we see it, you know.
Interesting.
So there you go. I mean, other than that, what else is there to talk about?
Well, there's a little bit of gossip, as it were, with regarding London Super Comic Con. And this is literally gossip. There's some reservations that it's even going to run next year. Kind of the Facebook group, there's a couple of chaps who are talking about the fact that some of the guests had a big fee for this year, 2017, and basically that just was not recouped in ticket sales and whatever, and
I can imagine it wasn't.
We had a great time. I think I speak for all of us in that, but I don't think everyone can say that, and a lot of the businesses didn't really make what they wanted to make, and I think it might have put the con in jeopardy for 2018.
I mean, we're hearing about dates throughout next year already, aren't we? For example, Thought Bubble announced a couple of weeks, didn't they? These sort of people. So I'm surprised. I think they might skip a year at the very least, if not never come back again.
Yeah. You know, it's the timing.
It's a bit of a wasteland, a desert of no people, isn't it, for a big period of time.
Yeah. When he's kind of hearing like the MCM stuff and the Central London is absolutely fucking heaving.
Yeah.
I mean, when it was back in the Docklands, wherever the fucking it was, there was just
Excelsior,
it's non-stop. It was busy all the time.
Yeah.
So it was very different.
And it was a cosplay con as well, you know, which tends to draw, let's face it, more people than the comics do these days. But even that, it was still quiet, wasn't it, you know?
Yeah, it was an odd one.
Yeah. And you can't fault any of the like staff and the people that are helping. They
were
working their ass off. It was just, yeah.
Yeah. And they had some good names. They had, you know, some really good people turn up, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I still really like the sort of idea of putting the big names in amongst the the small press and independent sort of stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Right.
Yeah.
I think they could have made more of the main floor. The main floor was a bit tired and bored compared to our little, you know, hidden in the back upstairs bit.
There's
a lot of energy up there. We're in the main floor. To be fair, I feel like that was jammed up full of people and cosplayers. That would have been kind of buzzing, but because it was so big and half empty, it kind of magnified the issue of it being a bit, this isn't working.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought we was gonna be, when we looked at the floor plans, I thought we was gonna be on that floor.
Yeah, so I couldn't figure that out either.
Oh, okay, we're in it. Tucked in a side room. But there we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens with that one.
Stay tuned.
There's still plenty of conventions that are announcing their dates and already started. Thought Bubble has opened up their doors for booking tables, I think, until, is it January the 7th or something like that, Thought Bubble?
Right, yeah, they've got a big longer period for applications than they've had before, haven't they?
Yeah.
Because that's not a first serve, first come, first serve deposit. Yeah. That's interesting to see you get a good spread and what have you.
And I know certainly Thought Bubble, it's not just a case of putting your name down and getting a table. They look at like what you've got, what you'll have there in terms of comics, you know, the actual stuff you'll have. So, you know, you won't have, we've talked about them before, you know, the people doing all those prints from films, you won't get any of that at Thought Bubble. So,
We've submitted to LCAF as well, and LCAF are the same. They're a curated, you know, they'll ask you what you've got coming out. You know, are you releasing thing at that convention? Are you happy with half a table for this Friday? You know, I think they really treat it like a jigsaw of, you know, why and when and who, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, what happens around that?
So yeah.
2018 is going to be very, very interesting for conventions all around. So,
we're lined up, True Believers. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yes. On so many levels that we'll probably talk about a bit later. Oh, it's going to be so good. Mm. We've got a few appearances next year in the bag already. But
appearances.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. Well, we're going to appear like there, aren't we? I'm not lying.
We're crankies.
We're like the crankies of comics.
I will crank nothing for comics.
Yeah.
that's a lie. Anyway, that is looking ahead to next year. But what about this year?
Looking back.
Nicely done.
I thought you were going to sing "Looking Back Over My Shoulder." Then Dan, go on.
No.
Oh.
No, don't.
The one word answer. No.
It's an answer I get a lot from you. So where
you're attacking me? I've said no.
Get off me!
Put some trousers on. Anyway, what? Where do we want to start? Tony, do you want to be the master of ceremonies for our?
Okay, so
yeah,
I've circulated a list amongst us all. Of, let's say, there's 12 awards. They're not awards, are they? Categories. 12 categories. In fact, we're careful not to say they're awards because we're not giving out awards, are we? Because we don't think we're in any 12? Position to give out awards. Well, hey?
Is there 12? I counted 11. Have I missed one? Well, we'll find out later if I've missed one.
We'll find out. Yeah, listen out, folks. You'll win a prize.
We're not doing that anymore.
First up, Do you want to do the first up, Vincenzo?
Yes, it's the. This is the. Well, we're going to get it out of the way. But it's very much well deserved. It's a new category this year, and that is the Awesome Comics Podcast Circle Jerk Award.
Yes, lovely.
Which is a book
the CJ
that,
Award.
The CJ of the year goes to Porcelain.
Hey.
Yeah. Editing a drum roll there.
Yeah.
So essentially what we decided to do is, because we love this book so much, we don't want it to dominate all the other categories, which it could well do, and we wanted to say we love it. We love all the creators involved, who, if you listen to, to a show ago, you'll hear all about Ben and Chris and all those fannies, and we're going to put it on the mantelpiece, and we're going to look at it, and we're going to say, right, we're not going to touch it, but we just to say we love it, it's a fucking amazing book, and it's up there. I'm sure a lot of people loved it. We had a few replies this week from a couple of messages we put out on Facebook. I know Sarah Harris has just replied now saying she loved it, and a few other people. Yeah, so very good. Just incredible, in fact. You hear it, since the last episode, you hear us gushing over it.
I know certainly when we talk about it, I'm talking about it in the sense of just what they've done as a whole, you know, to complete that this year. I know there could possibly be more, but as it stands, if they left that there, then you've still got a classic.
An amazing achievement. Totally.
The first one, when someone says like recommend a small press, it's the instantly flash to Porcelain. It's like, yeah, you can't go wrong. That's great.
I know that a couple of listeners said it, Sarah, as I mentioned, Claire Hemsworth as well, and John Late all mentioned it as books that they've really, you know, absolutely loved this year. When we agree with them, there you go.
Yeah, so there you go. Well done, Porcelain. But we're not going to talk about you anymore.
No, fuck off.
And we're going to have a bit of fun with some of these topics. Yeah. So, Tony, what have we got next?
Next up is favourite movie.
Yeah.
Who would like to go first on this one?
Should Daniel? I go first? Yeah, I'll go first. I can't say I got too many standouts for me this year.
Right.
I think I'm becoming a bit of a grumpy old man when it comes to cinema. Even more so. But I really enjoyed Logan when that at the cinema. That was a good one.
Chose.
The only thing that kind of let that one down a little for me is when he has the clone turn up, which I was a bit kind of like, I wish I'd have got fucking Liv Schreiber for this bit. But Celevi, apart from that, I really enjoyed that film. Train to Busan. That was fantastic.
That looks good. Yeah,
that's a really good film. And a lot of people, well, quite a few people like this film. Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
That a real great laugh, great film. That was really fun.
Okay. So I'll go. Go on, mate. Sorry.
Go on. I've given you three instead of one. But
I'll go next because mine was Logan. I've seen quite a lot. I've been to pictures quite a lot seemingly this year. Because there's been so many, I only really have time now to go to the cinema when there's superhero movies on.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I would go and watch other stuff. But because there's so many about now, it seems to be about the only time I've got. Do you know what I mean? But to me, Logan steps away from what we think of as traditional sort of superhero movies.
Yeah.
And it becomes, I don't want to say it's a proper movie, but I want to say it reminds me of a sort of classic movie. There's more emotional content in it, I think, perhaps, if that's a way of talking about it. Much I love movies like Thor and Captain America and the Avengers, it's much more focused on two or three individuals in it. And there's some incredible acting. Jackman and Stewart are outstanding in it, I have to say. Just incredible. Stewart especially. This performance
rivalry between them.
And they're prepared to give it. They're prepared to show a sort of a real vulnerability to themselves as well. I mean, I fully expect there to be some sort of. Now that I don't know, I shy away from reading about business ventures and what that might produce, and people sort of, you know, betting on what's going to come next. And I've seen various things saying there'll be a Captain America, Wolverine movie or something. I'm like, really? But I mean, at the moment, Jackman played it for, what was it, 17 years, something like that.
Yeah.
By the time the movies came out. And And he's done. I wasn't too keen on him at the start. I thought, no, he's too sort of handsome, too sort of leading man for Wolverine. But he's totally convinced me that he is Wolverine, and he's thrown himself into it, and he's lived that part, and that the sort of the beaten up anger and jaded sort of appearance that he's got in that last movie. You know the bit where he's sitting in the car and they're trying to jack his car wheels and stuff, and he gets out and he has a fight with them. I think this is how I see Wolverine. You know, he's got that. You know, he's not this sort of super handsome bloke flying through the air. And it bookended what was, you know, from a film I saw in, what was it, 2001, The X-Men, and this new character driving about in a van and fighting, you know, and it's bookended it. And I just really liked it, I have to say. And I thought everyone was in it was really good. And Mangold is a director that I've really admired over the years. Copland was an amazing film as well.
I think it's a real kind of character study, where the other X-Men films were kind of a lot more story-driven. That felt like kind of like the characters and their growth was center frame, and that really worked as opposed to like a big world in threat that happens to roll along in the other films. I mean, I really enjoyed X-Men and X-Men 2, don't get me wrong, but Logan was just a step out. That was really good.
Yeah, it was a definite step out of the arena, and you're just looking at these two characters. And if you look at the way it's shot as well, the focus on their faces, and you know, when they meet that family, you have the farm and everything. This is just brilliant, you know.
And it's also a sort of film that it won't date like the other ones. When you see X-Men 1 for the first time, like when you're younger, you're like, oh, God, this is amazing because you're seeing X-Men on the screen for the first time. I can't watch that first one anymore.
It's really hard.
Yeah, it's dated really badly.
They go into the Statue of Liberty, and essentially they're just standing around. Like, they're just not doing anything. Yeah. And it's like, fucking hell. It's really... it's dated.
There
we go.
That's my one, Vincenzo.
It's been a busy year for films, isn't it? I mean, I could have quite easily said Logan, actually. As soon as that name came up, I thought, oh shit, I forgot about that. If I had to pick a comic sort of base movie, I think out of all the ones I saw this year that hit the most notes with me, it's probably Guardians Volume 2. I mean, I don't think it didn't match the first one, which was such a shot in the dark and such a shot in the arm of what the genre was, but it was a second chapter that just it got me all the right moments. And I'm sorry, I've watched it a couple of times since, and I get emotional at the end. I get
right
every time. I actually like my eyes well up, and so I can't not say that this is my pick, because for a film to constantly do that and to make you, yes, there are some bits narratively I maybe would have done differently, but I watched it again recently after not seeing it for a while, and I just thought, oh, this is. I realised then how much I truly enjoyed it. Plus, if they put Kurt Russell into the Marvel Universe, so. It was going to get my pick.
And do you know what? Apart from, I mean, I know there's the prologue, but the opening where the credits are running literally makes me smile every time.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of these people who goes, oh, I'm going to get a Funko of Groot or something. I don't, it does nothing for me. I'm not into that. But with the little Groot dancing about and them all fighting the monsters in the background, it just literally puts a smile on my face every single time.
It was
brilliant.
When he was on the Stacey's Parlor podcast and you were talking about the film with Stacey, it really brought home the point when you said, like, Kurt Russell's character had essentially just been going around the universe seeding these kids, and as they've come to him and failed him, he's killed them.
Yeah.
I hadn't really considered that too much until you kind of pointed it out, and it's like, that's monstrous. It's absolutely monstrous.
When you think about it, he's the worst villain. I mean, obviously, we've got Infinity War next year, but so far, Ego's... Bar none, he's the worst villain that they've had in terms of like just being what he's done has been horrible, because most of these villains are like, I'm going to rule the world, I'm going to obliterate this, that and the other, but they never do because the good guys stop them. But in this film, you see that the bad guy had already like thousands and thousands of corpses.
Doing his shit for years.
And it's like,
turning point when he says about like Peter Quill's mother being killed by him, given a cancer, that's fucking horrible. But like,
that's a great moment though. That's well acted, I think, by them both.
Because it's also a switch, isn't it? No matter how much I love Kurt Russell, and everyone knows I do, but as soon as he says that, it flips the switch of, right, he's got to go down.
But Star-Lord realizes that at the same moment you realize it, doesn't he? Yeah. And he acts without thinking. And I love that sort of, no, I'm going to kill you. And he just does it. You know, it's just like incredible stuff. Yeah, really good. Yeah,
it's well worth revisiting. I think certainly if when you first watched it, it didn't necessarily give you the same thing that you had when you watched the first Guardians film, but definitely rewatch it because it is just great fun as well. And they managed to, you know, they managed to mix comedy and action and emotion that certainly other films try to do and fail. And I know it's an unpopular opinion, and I'm probably going to save it for next week's show, but Guardians did better what Thor Ragnarok tried doing for me.
I get you. Yeah. It seemed a little bit unusual for Thor. Bear in mind, we'd had two movies with a bit of gravitas. I know there were jokes played in the first one a bit more than the second one.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's gone from being the Shakespearean Game of Thrones area of the Marvel Universe to being a space comedy, essentially, wasn't it? You know?
Yeah. Which is, you know, comedy's great. Comedy's fantastic. But it's still got to be, you know, the heart of great comedy is, like, you've got to really feel... There has to be a moment where things stop and shit is actually real. And Thor failed on that for me. I'm not going to...
We can talk about it next week.
Yeah, we'll talk on it next week. Yeah. But Guardians, you know, it's just pretty...
The thing with Guardians as well is you know that they can fuck up because they are a bunch of fuck-ups.
Yeah.
And you don't know whether they're going to come out on top. You know Captain America is, let's face it. I mean, we all know that's going to happen. But I think with them, you're not actually sure that they can win through in the end.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Making them out with their lives is about the best you can hope for them, you know.
Yeah.
That good thing of kind of mixing the comedy and tragedy. I watched American Werewolf in London again during the week.
Okay.
And I haven't seen that in bloody 15, 20 years. That's and like the amount of humour in that is you get the real ups and downs because having just like a straight horror film, it can only be like, oh, it's horror. But when you get the humour and you can be taken to the heights of being really funny and the next minute it's fucking grim. The two contrast really well together.
Yeah. Well, there's a fine line between comedy and tragedy, isn't there? That's what people say. And I think that's why like great comedies have the best dramatic moments for me a lot of the time. So Guardians was my top pick. Obviously, two minor mentions. John Wick 2. I fucking love John Wick. That's what I'm going to say about that. But recently I saw Wind River. Have you heard about this one?
I've heard that one.
No.
It's the it's sort of a crime mystery from the writer of Sicario.
And, oh, it was with Hawkeye in it?
Yeah. Hawkeye and the Scarlet Witch.
Yes, yeah.
And
I've seen the posters up on the tubes,
Yeah, I think overall that's my film of the year. That is.
Oh, really?
Okay, mate.
And nice I tell you, if it will change your opinion of Jeremy Renner, because he knocks it so far out of the park on that film.
Does he?
Yeah,
good.
Really good. Really.
He's a hard guy to cast.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Louis C.K. episode where he plays the drug dealer? Have you seen that?
I'm not
he's
sure.
He's got a sort of flashback to his childhood, and he's the drug dealer, and he is fucking incredible in that. He's brilliant. At the time, I thought this is, you know, because he's a strange bloke to cast, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm going to get hate mail, but I don't quite get him as Hawkeye either.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he's gotten better as Hawkeye as it's gone on. I think,
definitely.
For instance, Civil War was his best performance as Hawkeye, I think.
Yeah. He just seemed a bit uncomfortable amongst it to start with, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah. So there you go. Okay. Yeah, that's my rant.
Cool.
So what do we have next?
Next is TV series. I might go first on this if you don't mind.
I'm gonna
go completely and absolutely off reservation with this. I'm gonna talk about a series that is not
I know what you're gonna do. Yeah, go on.
Is not for everyone completely. It's confusing and honestly sets out to be. It's non-linear, it's fucking completely abstract. Funny, horrific, like super violent at moments. To me, it's the absolute pinnacle of anything that's been done on TV to this point. It goes from the first scenes in a room, here's a little hint to you, in a room with red curtains and tile flooring to flashing and sort of one episode, I think almost a third of it is just flashing and hypnotic, disturbing. It's like a moving canvas.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. To gold sprayed shovels, which seems to take forever, but I just loved watching this guy spray these shovels. Like I say, to moments of just like brutality, like you wouldn't believe. It's got the best FBI agents on television. Forget the X-Files; these are some of the best ones. And to a moment that is, I can't spoil the end of it, but something happens and you go, oh my god, did they just end on that? and it's Twin Peaks, and the return of Twin Peaks. It defies any kind of sort of real examination or definition or description. Each episode was strangely long. I don't know how he talked them into it, Lynch, but it sort of each episode ran seemingly for like an hour and a half, if not 2 hours sometimes. And wow. But watching it, I was just glued to every single moment of it. And some of it is just incredibly slow, where people will say stuff to other people and then they'll just stare at them. But the just time just completely disappeared for me while I was watching it. I don't think I've seen beautiful, incredible. I don't think McLachlan's ever been so good. And I'm a huge fan of him from Blue Velvet and June onwards. I think he should be in every fucking TV show after the performance he gives in this. He plays a variety of characters, not ruining it, but he plays a variety of characters based around the same person. And they're all convincing and brilliant and funny and scary and sensible. And, you know, David Lynch is incredible. And he's in it. And he is incredible in it. But I would say it's a TV series not recommended for stupid people. If you're, I've watched this with someone and they've gone, "What the fuck is this?" And I've gone, "Listen, if you're not enjoying it, we'll turn it off because I absolutely love it." You know what I mean? The return of Twin Peaks. There's a possibility he might do some more. I'm not sure if that's just a stupid thing on Twitter that I saw at some point. But yeah, I think I did six episodes in a day, and I think it sent me a bit stranger than normal. Have you guys seen it? Have you?
No. Honestly, I've not watched any of Twin Peaks. I'm really completely out of the loop. Yeah. So I can't comment.
It's different from the first series, and the first series is of a time. And some people say it looks a bit dated, and I can see why people would think that. The first series is humorous, scary, and weirdly soap opera melodramatic, and it changes in style. But it's just incredibly shot. There's movies that would be desperate for this sort of, you know, this sort of look to it. Incredible, incredible stuff. Lynch is a fucking absolute genius, and to add to that, he's also a comic fan, which you got to admire him for as well. So there you go, that's my one.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah,
nice. Who's gonna go next? You or me, Dan?
You can go.
Okay. Well, obviously, special nod goes to the Punisher.
Yes,
because I don't know. I'm finding it hard to describe that at the moment because I keep watching it.
it's fantastic.
Yeah,
and you know what? There were moments in The Defenders that were incredible as well.
Yeah,
I think we sort of forget that it happened, but when you had those four heroes on stage,
I actually have completely forgotten that happened.
Yeah.
I think Punisher totally kind of overshadowed
it did.
The Defenders, sadly. Yeah. But
there's a few moments in it, though, where they're all together and they're fighting, and I'm thinking, this is fucking brilliant. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I know it's had its low points, but, you know.
The first fight when they're all together in the hallway, it's like, this is the fucking biz.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So,
The Punisher did that for me. I'm a massive fan of Stranger Things, and I was happy with the second series of that. But my pick for this year is a show called Vice Principals.
Oh, right, okay.
I've not seen this one either.
It had its second series, its second and last series.
Is that with Walton Goggins?
Yep, and Danny McBride. And it is, bar none, it's perfection, that show. What it basically is about two vice principals of a high school who are sort of competitive with each other after the principal decides to leave. In the first episode, the principal, who is Bill Murray, who for a very tiny amount, he's only there and then leaves. And it's blacker than black comedy, laugh out loud hilarious, dark, emotional. It was one of those shows. We live in a world where everything's streaming at the moment. Is it that, you know, just at your fingertips of binging a show? But this was the one, as soon as an episode was available, I got on it.
Okay.
I was watching it week on week.
Yeah. I know a lady at work says I must watch it because she says I remind her of Danny McBride.
God. Yes. Yes. His character.
He seems to play the same character in that, but in all the stuff he does.
This is Danny McBride in a role that's... It is that, you know.
Right.
He has some of the best one-liners ever. Because the two main characters, these two vice principals... They do horrible things. They do terrible things to other people. They're nasty, but you end up loving them. You end up rooting for them and really right. loving them, which is quite difficult sometimes based on what they right. do. There's a moment at the start of the second series that had me just cheering. You have these moments, you know, when you root for the underdog. This is a show all about underdogs. And I was punching the air thinking, this is amazing. It finishes really nicely. I was listening to an interview of Danny McBride sort of saying they had this idea for essentially a film. It could have been the film. But in this sort of climate, this sort of film wouldn't have really been, you know, if they did this as a film, it wouldn't have really been noticed. Whereas with a series,
right, yeah, okay.
it's more fitting yeah. for a TV series. Plus, so essentially they made like a 9-hour film. Yeah, which gave them a chance to like pad out characters and really just bring it all together. So it's a nice story. You can watch these two series together as one nice story.
Is it on Amazon or Netflix or anything?
I don't think it is yet. I watched it on... it's only just finished because it was an HBO show.
Oh, so it was on Sky TV, yeah, was it?
Yeah. So I watched it on Now TV. But... it had one of my favourite lines that I've heard recently, when Danny McBride says to someone, "If you fuck with me, I will leave your tits in a ditch." and that man shouting that line, I was like, oh, I'm using that one. I've got to find somewhere in my life where I can use that line. But no, Vice Principals it's a show that I think is one of the best things that's been put on TV over the past couple of years, but because of the nature of it, might have gone over a bunch of people's heads, certainly in the UK.
Boggins, he's good in everything, isn't he?
And he's brilliant in this because he's a really camp character. He's a really camp sociopath. Him and
see him in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, oh god. Yeah. Plus, he was fantastic in Justified.
Yeah, he was good. He almost became the hero of that series at a certain point.
You wouldn't have thought when you started watching Justified because it's so awful. But Vice Principals, seek it out. If you like some of the humour that goes on in this particular podcast, this show is for you. So
yeah. Awesome. I have to check that one out.
There you go. Dan, what have you got?
Yeah, I'd first off start off by giving another shout out to Punisher. Maybe it's the most recent thing and relying on memory again, but that was... It was so good. It was not what I expected it to be, but I was very happy that it wasn't what I expected it to be.
Yeah.
You know, I was expecting to do the Frank Castle routine, fucking criminals up and like him versus organized crime. And the angle they took was very refreshing and just great. Really good.
It was a good character study again, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it took you through him as a person, didn't it?
Yeah.
They could have easily just gone down the executioner killing everyone, you know, thing, but yeah. Really good.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Frank that you could kind of believe in and kind of empathize with. And when, like, there's the John Burton type, he's such a great actor. And when he says scenes and he's like reminiscing about his family, it's genuinely touching and emotional. Yeah. Well, to me,
he makes Frank Castle human, which most of the time he's a two dimensional construct of a character, isn't he? Really,
certainly used to be, didn't he?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And then through this, he kind of like. Out of everyone in it seems to have like massive PTSD, whatever they do, and Frank seems to handle it quite well. Although, like the villain characters don't seem to have any qualms at all about killing; they seem to have no humanity whatsoever. But certainly, like, a lot of the characters in it are conflicted and kind of torn up by the violence in their lives, and the kind of the approach of the show very mature in the way they've dealt with it. And yeah, just absolutely applaud it. It was really well done.
Yeah,
the other one I was. Can we give a shout out? It aired earlier in the year for us, and that was Legion.
Do you know what? I've still not watched it. I must watch it. I've got it on my Sky Plus box, and I've been trying to find time to go and watch it. Yeah,
it's great. It's it's hard to kind of go too much into it without spoiling the fuck out of it, but it focuses on David Hale, I think the main character is called, and he's been like a schizophrenic. The diagnosis schizophrenic since he was a boy. And he's an institution, and he's the sort of narrator for the story throughout. But he's a very unreliable narrator. You can't trust what he's saying because you get these kind of time jumps, and suddenly he'd be in a room like months later or years in the past talking to someone about something that's happened. And you start getting the idea that there's something's not quite right and something's very wrong. And the way the story is told is absolutely fantastic, absolutely weird. The design, cinematography, everything about the script is so on point. It was one of those shows that just like, I want to see the next one now, and you could not watch one episode and tell yourself, right, this is the way this is going to play out, because you would, I was never right.
Yeah,
for the better. It was really well done. Right. The chap who was behind it, he brought the original series of Fargo from
film
to TV, and I was kind of dubious. I was very dubious, thinking, well, how are they going to do this? And then it's great. That was a great series, but this is kind of like the same kind of ideals, but very wacky. You could very loosely call it superhero based, because there's no one in costumes, but some of them have got powers, some of them haven't. And
because it's X-Men universe, isn't it, as I understand
yeah very loosely. It's kind of, if you didn't know anything about comics or the X-Men, you could watch this and there would be no issues whatsoever. If you did know, but you could watch it and then see a few little bits and pieces, like kind of little Easter eggs. But I couldn't recommend this highly enough, and there's a second series of it coming out.
He's filming, isn't he? I saw him on being interviewed on some CAC, like the One Show or something. And because he's done a Dickens movie about the Christmas Carol or something, and he's in that.
Oh, that
and
looks he was fucking, over.
Yeah. He looks fucking yeah.
Shite.
But he was saying that they're filming it, and they're well into filming the second season already, I think.
He's a great actor, Dan Stevens. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't watch him in what's that fucking British one?
Downton Abbey.
Yeah. But first, watch him in The Guest.
That's a good film.
I love that film.
There's a quote me and my wife say to each other all the time, and that's like, what the fuck, David? Because there's a bit when he goes to meet the arms dealer and just shoots the arms dealer, and that guy who bought him there, like, what the fuck, David?
Yeah.
But he does exactly the same in this. He's kind of like weirded out and given that kind of thousand-yard stare, and very twitchy and kind of like it's played to perfection. It's a really good series.
In general terms, I don't know where people find the time to watch all these TV series.
No.
I genuinely don't. I mean, there's got to be, 20 superhero comic-related TV series at the moment? You know, how do you find the time?
Yeah, honestly, I'm so brutal now with what I watch and don't, because
if
I kind of watch something and I've sunk 2 hours of my life into it, and it's a fucking waste of my time.
Yeah.
I could have been drawing doing that.
Exactly. I tried to watch War of the Planet of the Apes, whatever it was, this morning, and I thought, nah, I haven't got time in my life for this cack. I turned it off.
On Monday, I had the day off, and I'd never seen Mel Gibson's The Patriot, and I thought, I just feel like watching an old war film. So I start that on while I was drawing, and I could kind of listen to it and look up. And that was the appropriate use of my time for having that one in the background. Me sitting there watching it, I'd be like, I can't be fucking doing this.
Because you can't have anything too heavy on if you're drawing either, can you? Because it's going to draw you away from the board, I suppose. You know, I can't have anything on. If I'm writing, I can't have music on. I can't have anything. So,
currently as I'm drawing, I'm going through iZombie on Netflix. It's all right. It's good fun. You know, it's just one of those, you know, the crime of the week sort of thing.
Like Lucifer, that sort of thing.
But it's fun, and like you say, it doesn't tax me too much.
Not challenging.
But yeah, I quite like it. I'm quite enjoying it.
No, I've got a problem with that. I watch loads of stuff that's.
Yeah.
I don't watch loads of stuff. I watch stuff that's not challenging.
Ex-hamster.
But speaking of a challenging
for a couple of minutes, and then you're right.
Minutes, fuck me, look at you,
Jesus Christ,
the slow internet speeds for me.
Buffering, hang on,
he's got dial up.
Think of Mother Teresa and dead kittens. Hang on,
if you want to, it's a Viz top tip. Is like, if you want to recreate the old days of dial up, just get like a picture of a nudie woman and have an A4 sheet of paper and then move it down slowly every seconds.
Good use of the word nudie as well. Yeah. I like that. Pretty bad. Good.
So moving on to part, is it three?
Question we're three? On four now. Favorite four. Convention.
Yeah.
Daniel, do you want to go first? I think it's your turn.
Yeah. Mine was an easy one. I'm not a massive convention goer. But for me, it was Wimbledon, the Wimbledon Art.
Okay. Nice.
I thought that was great. I really enjoyed it. The smaller venue with all the creators there, and everyone's talking, have a good time, and you can talk to the people. There's no kind of I feel like the other big cons are like really sales driven. It's like that's the kind of unspoken word, and like everyone's gunning after sales. And this, I felt like I was selling comics to people who gave a shit, and It was just a nice day, dude.
And we laughed, didn't we? And it, Gaz turned up, and loads of people just turned up. We knew, and good fun.
I thought, like, next door to the Hawk and Cleaver with Ben and Luke, and just chatting to them about what they do, writing and storytelling, and they're a great bunch of guys putting out some great stuff. And I could talk about making comics and writing and storytelling fucking all day. It's only just getting people to listen.
And it was free, and we sold a few things, and we helped promote it, and it was nice people. When they, Rick's a good guy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, definitely.
Nice. Cool.
That's me.
Do you want to go next, Tony?
Okay, mate. Mine was a difficult one, actually. I've done a few this year, actually. It was going to be LCAF. You guys know that I love LCAF.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to spend 3 or 4 hours in LCAF chatting to people, doing a few interviews. And then I got to spend about 8 hours getting drunk with Stuart in the pub, Stuart and Dave White. So it was a fun one. But I decided to go for one that was, all three of us were actually. I wanted one because we had such a laugh at it. And it was quite a historical one. I've gone with the 2008 40th anniversary convention.
Oh, that's my choice.
Is it? Hey.
Take it away.
I mean, first off, all three of us being at a convention, we've only done a couple this year, I think, where it's been all of us. It was this and London Super Comic Con, wasn't it? The aforementioned. Yeah. And like I said, what Dan said there, London Super Comic Con was fucking amazing for us.
Oh, God, yeah.
We had such a laugh. I mean, we met some amazing creators. You know, me and you, Vince, we went for a meal with Chris Weston and Jason Wilson, didn't we?
Yeah.
And, and it was just, and the moments in that pub where we're just larking about made it.
Yeah.
I know the Attic Studio guys were saying, Dan Harris was saying that it's been one of his favourite, but just because we had such a laugh, and it was sort of almost one of the ones where, I'll lead on from this, but one of these ones where you see work and you want to improve, and you talk to other creators. And in that way, the 2008 AD one was a bit like that, because we went along.
God, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I met up with Pat and Lisa and Dave the night before. We went for a sort of low key meal, and it's just sort of a chat. And, Pat's, he'll come up, I'm sure, later in this. But and then we three of us met up, and we wandered around this convention, and we met up with guys like Gary and Guy Carmichael turned up, and Iz was there, wasn't she? And loads of people that we knew. And but it's a different crowd, the 2000 crowd.
Yeah.
It's an older crowd, I think. Mm. Than we see it in the normal convention, but everyone loves comics nonetheless. And the panels were rammed out; people couldn't get into panels. It was so busy. And the guest list was incredible. It was a who's who. I think apart from Mark Millar, Grant Morrison, Neil Gaiman, Alan Moore, everyone else was there, weren't they? Everyone who's taken part in it: Gibbons, Wagner, Esquire, Alan Grant, Pat. There's so much talent in that room, and they were all at their tables pretty much the whole time, or in the bar. John Freeman was there. We had a chat with John, God bless him. The Orbital Comics people were there. Adam was running a few panels, and we just had a blast. Josh was there, and loads of people anyway.
Jason Atomic, yeah.
Oh, Jason, comes up later in the shouts. But we had a great time, and I got to do. I was a little bit nervous for going on stage with Pat. It was a big moment really for Pat, and I didn't want to let him down.
You did great.
Thank you.
You did really good,
mate. To hear him, there was a moment. I've listened back to the audio on it a couple of times, and there was that moment where I surprise him with a question. I say, "Look, you have to choose one character, that you've created," and you can see the wheels going around. You can see him thinking about it and deciding. And he said, "Nemesis the Warlock," and he got a cheer. And I thought, "Fucking hell,
people
love this comic, don't they?" Do you know what I mean? There's a real sort of a swell of people who absolutely fucking admire Pat, and they admire 2000 AD, and they live and die by 2000 AD. Some people, that's the only comic they read, that in the magazine, and we came away, and after that we went for a meal with them. We did pitch Vince and his cat army, which didn't get a big thumbs up, I'm gonna say that. But
I pitched the best Vanguard pitch I've ever done, and I feel like if I'd have done that as a movie pitch to like a room full of execs, they would have been eating that fucking film up.
But it was just fucking funny. Even our fake Wagner interview made me laugh.
Yeah.
Even that sort of crap we were doing. But what did you think, Vince? You were going to choose it as well, weren't you?
Yeah, because it was just such a nice day. I think one of the important factors for me for picking this one was it was fully my intention to do more conventions as like a visitor, as a punter this year. I was going to do, you know, table less and visit more, you know, and just because the pressure's off, it completely takes the pressure off, and you can just enjoy. But then I ended up tabling a lot more than I thought I was going to, and had a fantastic time. Where the 2000 AD one, you know, I went into it. I like Rogue Trooper, but you know, it was a complete experience for me. You know, thank you so much to all the guys from like 2000 AD and Owen for, you know,
sorting us out the passes.
Yeah, because it was such a well run event, and the atmosphere was so good. And just to sort of just walk around and just chill out, and just met so many nice people. I don't know what
the
my
layout
hair
was great as well, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
the convention in one hall, and then you can go next door, and then we just sat at a bar.
Yeah. I mean, if I had unlimited, you know, burnable funds, I would have spent so much money.
God. But I'm still kicking myself. I didn't get that fucking dread print. That was awesome.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And then there was the Chris Weston artwork we were looking at as well. Do you remember?
Yeah. I was looking at that. Just, you know, I had no idea that a couple of months away I'd be in a Pizza Express with them. Yeah.
But I was like, this is fucking traditional. This is not digital. The fucking cleanliness of this line.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, it was so much that it took my breath away a bit, like looking at those short pages, and you just think, whew, Jesus, you know, this is ridiculous.
It's real craftsmanship.
Yeah, it was a great day, you know, just all round. And also, because it was one of the few times that we got to hang out together, that's always just nice. Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
We went and had lunch and planned an anthology. You know, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, we've got to follow up on now. But yeah, just overall, it's just a great day. Yeah, almost there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you say that much, Tony?
Yeah. Almost in.
Yeah. No, it was just a great event. I mean, for what that event had to be as well. I think it's
Yeah, there's a lot of stress. Yeah, and I love the way Owen came on the show and denied the fact he had a bottle of gin in his pocket. I saw Owen. I know what was happening.
I mean, to be honest,
that event went so well. I would hard to be pressed to put forward a suggestion to improve it.
Yeah, me too.
The only thing is, just a bigger venue, but like
a bigger venue. It was expensive, but you can see why it was when you see what was going on, can you?
Yeah,
when they had to pay all the expenses, you know, for all those people to come in.
Yeah,
you can see why, I suppose.
But all the fans that were there were genuine diehards.
Yes.
They were fans.
Yeah.
That, you know, there was no one in just to pick up a Funko or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was nice being in that kind of environment as well. So so that was
It was cool because I arrived with Pat, so he could sort of drop his bags off at the hotel before we went out for a bite to eat. And in the bar area were loads of sort of people, fans who'd come down the night before. And sort of Pat just walked through, said hello to them, and they were like, "Oh my God, it's Pat Mills." You know, it's like that. It was so nice.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, I like the fact the pros and the fans were staying at the same hotel, everyone drunk, everyone else under the table. And it just sort of was, it was like an old school comic convention where, right, the convention's finished, now everyone go to the bar. You know, it's like that. Brilliant. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's true. It did have like the old school Bristol ones. It had that kind of feel.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, really did. Yeah.
Nice.
Number five.
Right.
Most improved creator.
Alright.
Yeah. Interesting one. Vincent?
This was a head scratcher because I felt it was quite a difficult category to
it's a difficult one.
Yeah. And my pick is Chris Sides.
Good man. This is the one I was gonna pick and I went for someone else, but I wanted to mention him. Yeah, good. Yeah.
Nice.
And the reason I'm picking Chris Sides, great writer, you know, friend of the show and stuff, and you know, we're good friends of him. But he leveled up with the book Impossible.
Exactly.
Which was a massive, for me, it was a calling card of like, you know, it won't be long and this guy's going to be surely a bigger publisher or, you know, publishing. It was just so good, that book.
Yeah.
that book is worthy of an image book, I tell you now.
Yeah.
The pacing, the dialogue, the way it ended.
Yeah.
just a really, really well-written book. Yeah.
The structure of it, and also a book that's great to go in when you don't really know what it is. And, you know, the story just took me with it. It wasn't like I was trying to read the story and then being disappointed by the ending or whatever. I went in with complete blinders, thinking I knew where it was going to go, and it twisted, and now I'm like, right, where's the next one? You know.
Yeah. I was expecting some fucking Sandra Bullock action.
Yes, weird one, isn't it?
A real sidestepping for the for the better.
Yeah.
It's a real subversion of what you're expecting.
Yeah.
And what you get is great.
Yeah. And it's got a little bit of the Grindhouse about it towards the end there, isn't it? Yes. Which I liked. You know,
I did pick this in my favourite graphic novel coming up later. But I can't fault Sides, he's done a really good job.
I mean, obviously the whole package is great. But you know, for me, that was like Chris Adme. I read
it's really good.
Read it in one sitting. Just brilliant characterization. For those that don't know what Impossible is, it's about. It seems like it's an astronaut who's stranded in space, isn't it, and has to get home.
That's what it looks like from
But there's so much more to it, and there's a nice little universe that's been built. And yeah, so Chris. Has leveled up, so he for me he's like it's a difficult category to sort of like pick out like most improved, you know, because
we're not saying that anyone is bad. Chris most certainly is one of the best writers in small press, but for this he just like to me just he fucking took a step past a lot of people and said, look, here I am, this is what I can do.
Couldn't agree more, so that's my pick.
Shall I go next? I'm going to talk about a woman, a lady whose laugh gives my Sid James style laugh a big run for the money.
I knew this was going to be the pick. I know who it is.
Susie Gander. I'm not saying Susie has ever been a bad artist. I think she's a brilliant artist and I love her stuff. And I think having seen the way she did the webcomic version of Periwinkle was good and readable and lovely, and then suddenly the comic version of it came out where she, the perfectionist that she is, she decided to redraw it all, and I thought, fuck me, this is good, this is a real she stepped up again. And then her and I have just done something for the Little Heroes comic, and we had a bit of a sort of script art meeting at Nottingham, and she showed me the concept sketches, and I realized how good she's become beyond that. And I think people are going to be very surprised with her this year. Although she did send us a picture.
That's an interesting one.
She said, does this look rude?
I don't know how you could not see that anything other than completely rude.
It was absolute filth.
I know people are going to go, oh, you just choose not your mates, but the reason Susie is my mate and our mate is because she's so good at what she does. I have not been emotionally moved by a comic as much as I was by Periwinkle for fucking years. That is a book with strong art, strong writing, and a lot of fucking heart about it. We were all I'm a 30 something, you know, tough guy, but I was I was an emotional mess after reading that. It's an incredible book. And she's been applauded for it a lot in a lot of end of year lists this year, and rightly so. But watch what you got coming from this lady. It's going to be good. She's a very chatty, a very amusing, great company, and to go along with that, she's also turning into one of my favourite artists, I've got to be honest with you. I know that wait till you see the Little Heroes story. It's only four pages, but there's one page, and I just thought she completely understands this completely. You know, great stuff. Look out for more from Mrs. Gander, and it's not a made up name. Apologise again for that, Susie.
Who have you got down?
My improved creator is going to give a shout out to both Chris Imbert and Brian Vander.
Yes.
Follow these two chaps on Instagram. And
hell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spoke completely. To Imber, Chris, earlier in the year, and he said he took an appraisal kind of meeting with one of the artists. I can't remember where it was. Maybe it was Robin
Was it JHP? It was somebody else, wasn't it? I can't remember.
Yeah. Freddie
Williams
the third. The third. Junior. Yeah. And essentially he said, like, I think you're ready to kind of go. And it was like absolutely high praise. But I think at one point Chris said, like, someone said, you need to work on the backgrounds, get the backgrounds on point. And he just went head first at it and worked on the backgrounds. And next minute, he's fucking drawn this guy with a shotgun in front of, like, an industrial kind of unit with cranes and wire link, chain link fences. I was like, fucking hell, dude. Like, you know, you think, I don't know how they're going to get any better than this. And then they do.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Great stuff. And the same with Brian, like watching the work he's kind of putting up for the Operation Boom stuff, and you think, I'm really loving Brian's stuff, and then he starts posting more, like you won't see anything for a couple of weeks, and then there's another couple of posts, and it's like, oh, bloody hell, these are really good.
Some of the commissions he posts.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Brian's great. I have to say, I saw just, you know, you're scrolling through Twitter and you think, oh, it's an X-Men page. I was just scrolling through Twitter and I saw this thing. I thought, oh, it's a spoiler or some pencils from an upcoming X-Men page. And I looked at it and no, it was a Brian commission. And I think Brian's pretty much there, ready to do an X-Men book.
Yeah.
I'd read an X-Men book of his tomorrow. I'll tell you that now. Yeah.
I think
both guys, him and Imber, both. I'd love to see them on a balls to the wall 90s feel bash him up X-Men book. It'd be brilliant.
Yeah. It'd be great.
I tell you, this is giving me an idea.
They could do one. Chris or Brian, or one could do gold and the other one does blue.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How about one day in the future, not on this show because we've got plenty more to come, we do like a fantasy publisher thing where we take a list of Marvel books. 1 week, just say,
yeah,
and we give them a writer and an artist.
What, and all from the small press? World,
all from the small press and indie.
Same. That's a good shout. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Just for a bit of fun.
So, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
But no, Vanda and Imber just can't agree more because they make me
sick. I give a little shout out to Garvey as well because he knows I love him, although we do spend our lives taking the piss out of each other. And I think with. Noir, he's leveled up with his mind as well.
Yeah,
definitely.
Also, alongside Chris and Brian, also Chris Jenkins on the colours.
Yes, very much so.
It's hard to say level up because he's so on the top of his game already.
Yeah,
but like he just does a fantastic job. Great work, Chris. It's lovely stuff. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, awesome.
So, cool. What's our next one?
Right, I'm going to go first on the next one because mine's easy. Best web comic. I don't understand the internet. I don't read many web comics. Yeah, I say this every year.
Are you taking the easy way out again, Tony?
Yeah,
I knew you were going to do
this. I am taking the easy way out because, and I'll tell you why. This total wanker sent me a page this week to look at Mystery Vince, and I literally looked at it on the train and I thought, is that fucking 3D? Because it jumped out at me so much, and it's Vanguard. Easy choice. I read maybe at the most 5 or 6 webcomics a year. Easily the best. Easily up, totally up my back alley is Vanguard. fucking, I love it, mate. And I love the fact that you just sort of shamelessly homage. You know, you love that area of comics.
Yeah.
You love Marvel UK. You love, there's some Image books in there as well, but it just harks back to the Captain Britain days of stuff that I loved, you know, and it is really good, mate, and it continues to be excellent.
Oh, cheers, thank you.
Yeah, that's my one.
That
last page turned out well. I was pleased with that.
Oh, mate, so good. Oh, the way they step over the panel borders and stuff, it made it look like it was you'd rendered it in 3D or something. You know, it completely jumped out of the page. You know,
you confused really good. Tony's brain. That's
yes, you did. Yeah, it didn't take much. Yeah. I stopped watching the porno film I was watching and I clicked on it.
What, on the train?
Yeah. I always have my back to the window, but I make sure there's no reflection.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah, can't agree more. There's a reason he's on this show, folks, and that's because he does a webcomic that you should all be reading. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Cheers. It's...
Yeah. And another shout out to Elizabeth Queerstreet, whose work I love as well. Just sort of quirky craziness of Elizabeth is just grand. It cheers me up no end. I look at it and it cheers me up when I read it. It's funny and it's good. There you go. That's the other one.
Nice. Right. Well, my one, because Dan's going to go last because he's the webcomic man, so it's only fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
He goes last. But my one is my pick is going to be Ghost of the Gulag, which is one
I picked
a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, it's just brilliant. David Derrick Jr. It's not anthropomorphic either, really. It's a story about animals in a sort of alternative post-World War II Russia, about a blind tiger and a crow. It sounds crazy. crazy when I say it, but this ain't a Pixar story. This is dark. It's gritty, and it captivated me so much that I read about 150 odd pages in a sitting, which I don't normally do with webcomics. You know, I try to sort of pace my webcomic reading, if you know what I mean. I do like sections, or an issue. If some webcomics are set up like issues, which this one was, and I know like Vanguard does the same thing. You do it in issues, don't you, Dan?
Yeah.
Which I think is almost better for those people who are reading in chunks. But I still just obliterate all of this, and I love it. I'll shout about it all the time. So ghostofthegulag.com, definitely check it out. I mean, I did more of an in-depth talk about it a couple of weeks ago, so check that show out. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah, but I love it. So there you go. That's cool. My one. But,
awesome.
But you're the webcomic king, Dan. So
yes, it's very difficult. There's one that kind of dominated. There's a wealth of great webcomics out there. There's one I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, which is Folklore, which is shaping up to be fantastic. But the one we've all kind of talked about often in the show is Scurry.
Yeah.
By Max Smith. It's just so on point. I mean, it's frustrating that he's kind of come into the game very late, as it were, in the kind of webcomic days, with such a polished creation. It's just going from strength to strength. His artwork is absolutely fantastic. I mean, he posts up animated GIFs on Twitter of his kind of process.
Oh, they make me cry.
Yeah, them alone are like, Jesus Christ. You know when you see those illustrations in How to Draw book, and you get like, step one, draw the circle, step two, two dots for eyes, and then step three, there's like a fully rendered face.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. He does like these kind of like really rough line drawings, thinking, oh, how's this going to turn out? And then suddenly there's a fucking eagle or hawk.
Yeah,
fully rendered, looks like he's popping out, you know, bloody hell. And so it's great. I mean, aside from the comic, the kind of the whole layout and the presentation of it is spot on. He's doing what you should be doing. He's doing a really good job, so well done, Mac. Check that out at scurrycomic.com. Give it a read.
Yeah,
very cool.
All fantastic ones. Right, what's the next category?
Well, I was just thinking, should we read out some of the listeners?
Yeah,
what they've liked.
Go for it.
Yeah. On the Facebook page, we've had loads of replies, actually. It's been really nice. Stuart McCune, who I would have chosen your book, Stuart, this year, but it might look like was into some kind of sort of criminal collusion. But if you're not reading The Human Beings, there's something wrong with you. That's and Stuart's book is fucking incredible, and I find it quite a hypnotic read. But he's mentioned, I really rate Jesse Jacobs' two books this year, Crawl Space and They Live in Me. He really liked Dan Clowes' Patience, which I know we talked about earlier in the year as well. He loved El Caff. Anything by Gareth Hopkins, I think we all agree with that one. And he's been very kind and said also including Cockney Kung Fu. Thank you very much. Claire Hemsworth said White Noir, obviously, and The Ether from Matt Garvey, both books that we've enjoyed. Griff Gristle 2, which I haven't read Griff Gristle 2 yet, but I really want to. And she agrees with us on Porcelain. Pete Davis, if I pick a few out, I can't read them all, Pete, because you thankfully listed a lot. But Paper Girls, The Old Guard, The Damned, Progression, The Defenders, Secret Weapons, Black Bolt, Mr. Miracle. Black Bolt is actually not talked about enough, actually. It's a really, really good book. And obviously, we love Mr. Miracle. Chris Imber, he said, Con experiences with you fine folks are a highlight. Thank you, Chris. Checks in the post. Matt Garvey has pumped out some gold, and so many slices of gold from Periwinkle to Vanguard. So he said that as well. Cool. Good. Have you got the Twitter up at all, of you guys? Or looking at that? No. Gareth Whiteholm has mentioned the Mills Bisley Slain reprint, which came out. You know, they did this sort of they're doing this sort of series of reprints of great, and that is incredible, totally brilliant. Anything by the Hellboy books he's enjoying. I've just jumped back into the Hellboy books and BPRD, and I'm actually loving them as well. Really good. The Black Monday Murders gets a lot of mentions, actually. I really must read that.
Yeah.
Black Hammer, Harrow County, Sarah Harris, Sarah's second mention. Divinity 3, I read Divinity. Divinity is one of my favourite series. Four Kids Walk Into a Bank, Paper Girls, Mr. Miracle again, Black Bolt again, The Fix, I don't know, it's your favourite of yours, Vince. My favourite thing is Monsters and Dawson Monsters, which we talked about and did an interview earlier in the year. John Late, he's mentioning anything by Donny Cates, which Coates or Cates, I'm not sure, Rednecks and God Country. And he's got some big things coming, actually, really good. Mm. Yeah, I got to have a chat with him, really nice guy.
Yeah.
Sam Webster again mentions Periwinkle and Wired Up Wrong. Now, Wired Up Wrong has hit a lot of best of this year, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really has.
I've not read that, so I couldn't.
I got that smaller version.
I got the. I pledged the Kickstarter, so I got the 100-page one, and it's really good. It is really good. Yeah, that's another level up, I think.
I think you're right, mate. Yeah. Dan Malley has mentioned the Trolltooth Wars, and which I'm in. If anyone's read it, Samurai Slasher, and Plastic, which I know you're a big fan of, Vince, aren't you? You enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, it ended quite suddenly. I could have done with another two or three issues.
Okay, I must catch up. I read the first one, but I must catch up on it.
Yeah.
Andy Clifton mentioned Mr. Miracle again, Silver Surfer, I know he's a big fan of Bug, and Four Kids Walk Into a Bank. That's getting a lot of shouts, Four Kids Walk Into a
Bank.
That is
on my list. It didn't get a pick, but it almost did.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, is it Michael Rosenberg? Is that it? I wrote it.
Matthew Rosenberg.
Matthew, pardon me. Yeah, yeah. Mauro, our favourite email writer, Mauro.
Yeah.
when he asked what he's enjoyed this year, he's written crystal meth and dogging. God bless you, Mauro. Thank you. Gaz Harding, our mate Gaz. More about him in a minute. As mentioned, The Ether. By Matt Garvey again, and Periwinkle by Susie Gander for mainstream. And Vanguard Book 2, which he bought at Wimbledon, says he really enjoyed.
Oh, cheers.
For mainstream Secret Empire. Yeah, good stuff. I think that's
someone on Twitter.
Okay.
Rick Jackson, he's given a big shout out to Matt Garvey. He's fantastically positive attitude to getting as many people making comics as possible. That's backed up by Fraser Campbell. Alan Henson's mentioned Periwinkle, Wired Up Wrong.
Yep.
And Brain Shootles, and Fraser's also agreed with that. So, some. It's weird. We kind of don't want to sound like we're all saying the same stuff, but some real standout titles. This year it's been a good one.
Yeah,
a vintage really year.
I like to think that Marvel and DC have got to that point now where they're taking chances with stuff again.
Yeah,
like Mr. Miracle, and if you read something like Moon Knight or something like that in the Marvel universe, there's some really interesting stuff going on.
Vision was great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that was absolutely the nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so good. So what is our next category?
Number 7, Good Egg Award.
Yeah.
who suggested this one?
It was
one
of you two. Me.
Now, I think we need a circle jerk award around the Good Egg. Can I suggest a circle jerk for the Good Egg? We will go through our... But I think there's one person that we should put up on the mantelpiece and know that... we think she is brilliant, and that's Sarah Harris.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, we all love you. Please don't think you're forgotten, but we'd have all chosen you, so we've all gone with someone else. But at the moment, Sarah, you're up on the mantelpiece next to Porcelain. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Who's going to go first on this one?
I can go first.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. There's so many great people to kind of mention. To kind of narrow it down is hard. But I would have to give this one to my boy Thorpey, Daryl Thorpe.
He's
a ledge. I've interacted with him before, but when we first met at London Super Comic Con, everyone was really kind of down and like, oh God, this could be busy, blah, 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 blah. He was like a ray of sunshine. He was just like, that's great. And just everything was upbeat and positive. And he's like that with every interaction I have with him. His enthusiasm is infectious. He loves creating. He's on it all the time. He's got lots of energy, lots of passion. He's really nice bloke, a great creator. He's a dude.
Yeah, he's a machine, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's
trying to push push the medium a bit. He is trying new things.
He does.
Which is great.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Yeah, and he's like totally the best attitude towards it.
Yeah.
And he did make a few people's ears bleed when we had him on the show, which was good.
Yeah, I wasn't going to edit that. That's just fried gold.
We do need him back on, actually. I think whenever we're flagging a bit and we're a bit tired, I think we'll just get him on just to give us a bit of a kick up the arse.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right. Tony, do you want to go next?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go Pat Mills. I know we've mentioned him quite a few times already, and his some of his books have been the favourites of people. But I think when you've got someone who is of Pat's stature, and he is a friend of ours, another one who is a friend of ours, we're not choosing him purely for that reason, but he is 100% behind the rights of a creator. I think you'll find that no one speaks out as strongly and is sort of as fiercely protective of the rights of a creator and of making sure that people get paid what they deserve than Pat. He's, whilst he continues to write for French publishers and also for 2000 AD, and by the way, the new Slain, I sent you some screen caps, didn't I, of it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Just him and Simon Davis. Oh, my God. Just
I've amazing. Got to get a trade of that.
Just amazing. Yeah. Yeah. But he is also showing everyone up in the UK and American scenes and how you go about self-publishing with the Serial Killer books and Be Pure, Be Vigilant and some of the sort of historical, some of the toxic products. I mean, that from the Toxic Comic Weekly products that he stuck out from a self-publishing. I know Lisa and Carlos Esquire have stuck out. A colouring book for Judge Dredd that 2000 AD should have stuck out themselves and would have probably made a load of cash on. They're leading the way on how you go about publicising your own work, how you go about doing it for yourself, basically. Yeah. Pat and Lisa have basically set up I hate to call it a cottage industry because it's not. It's a worldwide company that people are buying his books. We'll get on to the fact that Serial Killer 2, Goodnight John Boy, I think came out last couple of days.
Yeah, took me back completely by surprise.
Yeah, there was a slight delay in it. I think they just had something there to do, and then it came out this week. I've read it, and it is... I actually prefer it to the first book, and I love the first book.
Really?
And it is... Yeah, I really do, yeah. It's taking the story to places that you will find parallels with in the real world, but the characters are really, really coming into themselves. I read it in a day. It's a book that I read in a day. I got to be what Pat and Lisa call a beta reader, where they send it out to you to have a look through and to see if there's anything you would like, you know, or changed, or if it's just from a sort of personal point of view. And they're really humble about listening, thinking about what you say, considering changes and stuff like that. And I sent through, I think Lisa sent me an email saying she was convinced I didn't sleep, because as soon as it hit my iPad, I read it pretty much in one go. It's really good. But I think Pat, I mean, he's the godfather of British comics. I know it's been said before, but he's as vital and as interesting and as interested in comics as he has ever been. And any interview you hear with him is hugely inspirational to creators of all ages, and so it should be. He's pushing out books seemingly every couple of months. Something comes out from them. And he's just showing the youngsters what they should be doing. Get off your arse and start self-publishing, you know.
Yeah.
And really inspirational stuff. And Pat is an absolute fucking gent. And we love having him on the show. And he's got more energy than the three of us put together when it comes to it, you know.
That talk we went to was great. It's just
so good. And that could have gone on for another 4 hours. And it ended up with us in the pub with him. You know, it was just brilliant. Yeah. Yeah, really good. Yeah.
That's nice. Quite a worthy choice indeed. My choice for the good egg is going to be Pete from Comic House. Now, obviously this year we went legit and got a sponsor.
Yeah.
And Comic House stepped up and joined us on our crazy adventure of doing this every week. And ever since then, they've just been ultra supportive, ultra fantastic, giving us gifts to give away as competition prizes and more. We've all got a hat, a Comic House beanie, which I will say is my favourite hat. I thought I left it in a cafe the other day. I was upset for about 3 hours, like a proper sulk. I had a proper sulk. But no, then I found it. It was just in my dirty washing. Anyway, so, but that aside, no, what Pete is doing with Comic House, I know we have the spiel at the beginning of every show, but it really is trying to push indie comics and small press out to a larger sort of medium. So I've got nothing but support and love for them. And he will be a future guest on the show, so there'll be more finding out how it all came to be. You'll find out fairly soon. But
yes.
It's been a wonderful marriage between us and Comic House so far. Well, we haven't, like, we're not separating yet or arguing over who gets the kids or the dog. But but until then.
And congratulations to you for not wearing a fucking hat in a cafe like every other hipster does in London.
No, I always take my hat off.
Yeah.
Good in man. A calf. Yeah. But I was wearing it everywhere else.
Do you know the thing about Pete as well? Because I'm completely a Luddite and I don't understand how anything works. Yeah. The amount of times I've bothered him with not knowing how to put my password in, and he's always straight back. I actually feel really bad about it. I said, "Oh, you don't have to reply straight away. I'm really sorry."
Yeah.
He says, "Oh, no worries." You know.
Yeah. No. Top stuff. So there you go. That's my good egg. What a fantastic category, Dan. Right, okay, who's the next one?
Number 8, favourite writer.
All right, I'm going to jump up to plate for this one.
Go for it,
Quite simple. I went mainstream. Now, I finished off the second volume of one of his books just the other day, and I'm currently reading one of the mainstream books that he does and loving it. He's made fantastic characters out of... And, well, you can argue they're fantastic characters anyway, but they certainly got me interested in The Vision and Mr. Miracle. It is, and I think he's going to be on a lot of people's best of lists this year, because he is smashing it. It's Tom King, who is he's just on another... He's on another planet. He's on another... I think he's almost hitting that, I would say... A few years ago, Jason Aaron hit this sort of almost otherworldly plane where, like, no one could touch him. And Jason Aaron is still fantastic. He's still, he's still on that plane. But it seems like Tom King has stepped into that stratosphere now where it's, you know, he's doing... I haven't read any of his Batman stuff.
No, I've just downloaded them, actually, onto my iPad. I haven't read them yet,
But I've heard he's doing quite good, pretty... Well, on that, isn't he? I think as well.
Yeah, and I've got Omega Man as well, Omega Men to read as well.
Yeah, a book that was so good that it actually came back from death, didn't it? For a
kept it going for a bit longer, didn't they?
Yeah. So, and I've been following Tom King since Once a Crowded Sky, which was his superhero novel back in the day. So, to see him rise up, and whenever you hear him on podcasts, he's just the funniest, and I don't know, he's such a
self-deprecating as well, isn't he?
Self-deprecating and like proper legit good person. Plus, he used to, you know, he had a job in the CIA.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean, I like to think that he'd kill us all with a pencil. So he probably could. Anyone could kill me with a pencil, really, if you just hit me hard enough. Anyway, so that's
fired it out of a gun.
So Tom King is my pick for writer.
Cool, nice one, Daniel.
We've spoken about it so much already, but Susie Gandon on Periwinkle.
Oh, mate, good chat.
Yeah. The ending of that comic fucking tore me up in a good way. I was really kind of...
You messaged us, didn't you, saying it? You found it quite affecting, yeah.
Yeah, kind of... I read it again, like, in the one sitting. It just blasted through it and kind of... It felt like I couldn't put it down because it would be a kind of... I had to go through the whole thing. It feels like it's been made to be read in the one sitting.
Yeah.
And the end of it, I was kind of... It was very touching. Being a cynical old bastard that kind of sees very little light in anything. that sort of permeated the armoured exterior. And it's a really good... Susie's done really well there. The only thing is, how is she going to top that? I'm sure she will. But Periwinkle was a fantastic achievement.
Yeah,
nice.
Definitely.
All right, cool. Tony, go.
Mine is a bit out of the blue, actually. It's something that I sort of rediscovered recently. I don't know you guys have been like this, but I've historically been a big reader of Marvel and DC. And I don't know, over the last year, I've slowed down. I sadly haven't slowed down in buying it. I've got a big reading pile here. But I got a bit of fatigue. I'll be honest with you, a slight bit of fatigue, and not from the comics, but from all the behind the scenes nonsense and social media nonsense. And I don't know. I just
gonna have a moan about this next week, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know. It just sort of it got to me a bit, I think. And I stopped reading. I've got a pile of X-Men. I've got a pile of, you know, not to any detriment of the people crying. It's just some of them just... I'll get round to, and I'm looking forward to reading them. But for a while, and then, but this is a writer who writes one of my favourite characters, and historically has always been so. Since I saw him in the sewers underneath the Hellfire Club, saying, "Right, this is it. I'm going to kill someone," and it's Wolverine. And since those Claremont Byrne days, Austin days, I've been a huge fan of his. And obviously we know that Wolverine went away for a while, don't we? We realise he went away and he came back as Old Man Logan. And I think both me and you, Vince, were a little bit cynical about that, weren't we? We thought, yeah. I'm not sure. And I threw myself into reading it. I downloaded it as part of that Marvel sale that they had on. I bought the first four trades, three or four trades. And they're written by Jeff Lemire. And he's a writer who I have read stuff on before, but I've not sort of followed him too much. He used to appear occasionally on 11 o'clock comics, and I would enjoy listening to what he had to say. And I've met him at the New York Comic Con a couple of times.
He's done a few great self-published books, like The Underwater Welder, which is
Essex County and stuff like that. Yeah, but he turns his hand to a few things, and he's turned his hand to Old Man Logan in a really interesting way, and he's taken him back. So I won't bore you with the heavy Marvel continuity, but he's come back from a situation in the future on Battleworld where his family were murdered, and he comes back in time and suddenly finds himself in present day America, and he decides to take revenge on the death of his family, and he goes round slicing and dicing people. And it really feels like Wolverine's back. It really does. I know he's just sort of grey, and he's moving a bit slower, and he's taking longer to heal and stuff like that. He's sort of desperate, and you know, he's a scrapper, and he's jaded. He's tough as fuck, but he's got that vulnerability and heart about him, like we talked about in the Logan movie, actually. Lemire captures him in a way that really sort of hit the spot with what I was looking for in that character, put it that way. There's been a few artists on it. The Andrea Sorrentino, I think, does the first two or three trades, and Diodato's on it as well. I don't know. It's just he seems to get it. He seems to understand the character. In X-Men Gold, there's a couple of moments where he's putting on a costume and he's saying, "I know this isn't Lemire, but he's saying, oh, what am I putting this on for?" You know, and that all springs out of the Old Man Logan book. Lemire's done some great stuff. Stuff we've talked about in the last year as well. For example, The Valiant, which I know we're all a fan of, which is a great book, and Bloodshot Return. I really must get on board with Black Hammer. I know Stuart McKeown mentions it and says it's a great book, and I know it got mentioned a couple of times in our "What Has Everyone Else Enjoyed This Year?" kind of posts. But for me, he's brought me back to not only to Wolverine, but he's brought me back to the X-Men. I think. And I own pretty much every issue of the X-Men that's ever been, and of all the different series. And I'm now sort of scouring the boxes to read them all in order again because of this guy. And it's a really good series. I recommend it. If you want to read a book, you can read it as a standalone book. There's a couple of sort of little bits that sort of wish and wash out the sort of general continuity, but it reads well as trades. Yeah, really good stuff. Yeah, highly recommended.
Awesome.
That's my one.
There nice. So what is the next category?
Let me see. The next category is favourite artist. Daniel?
Yeah, it's a couple for me. I'm going to give out a big shout out to Diz Evers, who does the art on White Noir and The Ether. Both fantastic comics. I really enjoyed them. Max Ryan's good on this, but the artwork from Diz absolutely nails it. It's fantastic. It sometimes feels like, especially White Noir, like I'm looking at a TV, something that's painted from a set or a something. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of it feels very real, like people in situ, and it's kind of she's caught this conversation like mid sentence and recreated it for us. It's fantastic. In regards to kind of my own artwork, I'm trying to take a look at people kind of influence, and I'm trying to get more I'm out more kinetic and energetic, and looking at stuff like from Trad Moore, Ryan Otley. And Jung Ji Kim, who's just an absolute fucking art beast. He's amazing.
I watched him draw at New York this year. Fucking hell. Biggest crowd I've seen around an artist, right?
Really?
Yeah.
But that kind of, there's some real standouts for me. And I love browsing people's kind of artwork online. And often I see someone and say, "Oh, bloody hell, look at the state of that." And just love it. It's one of the treats, really, of finding a new artist and seeing what they do. those people were definitely standouts for me.
Cool.
Nice.
Vince?
My pick for this is someone who's on... It beggars belief what the artwork is like. And I know Tony's certainly going to agree with me. His name is Eric Henninot. I believe I said that right. He's backed up with the colourist Pierre Materne, I believe. Yeah. And they are the art crew for Carthago.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, we've talked about this a few times. And when people see just a few examples of what the pages look like, they are always... They're jaw-dropping. From Himalayan landscapes to
the
details of Buddhist monasteries to huge, like, creatures rising from the deep to abominable snowmen to action scenes that just absolutely blow you away. I know they're the same crew for Carthago Adventures, aren't they?
No, different teams per issue for that. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, it's whilst I would highly recommend Carthago, I would say go into Adventures have a look at it first, because each story, I think it's five stories, focuses on a different thing, different sort of monster stroke situation. And the art, I think, is it two or three, to me looked a bit, it wasn't to my taste.
Right.
I think go into that, read a beware around that one. I think have a look at it first.
Yeah. But, you know, certainly there's a, like, the actual story itself is quite heavy. There's lots of political implications, etc. But
scientific it's intellectual almost, isn't it? Yeah.
You got those sort of archaeological and paleontology sort of aspects to it, and but
environmental
then,
and yeah.
But then you have these moments where there are no words on a page, and you're just seeing caverns, caves, monsters coming out of the shadows, and you know it lets the art speak for itself. It's certainly the most cinematic, you know, it's almost like I felt like I was reading a film. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get you completely. Did you read it on your tablet? Did you?
I read the first two parts on the tablet, and it was so good. I ordered the hardcover book and finished it off like that, because you know, it was one of those, I need this on my shelf. And also, one of the main things about Carthago is giant sharks. Giant megalodon sharks. And
it had me from those first few pages, which is a wordless, you just see some teeth in the water, you see a humpback whale, and then you see the megalodon attacking it, and it's because it's set in, you know, millions of years ago, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. It's beautiful.
And it does a great thing of, like, when you see this shark attack, there is no lettering. There's no, like, over-the-top... you know, effects to cover up anything. You know, if you're looking at the action on the page, most of it looks silent, which means you can feel what happens even more. And it's not gratuitous and over the top. It's really effectively done. It totally sort of blew me away.
It's like the 14 times meets Blue Planet. That's what it fucking feels like sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, and they deal with different, so they do deal with, like, abominable snowmen and, you know, lost races and dinosaurs and Nessie, and they deal with all that sort of stuff as well. But the Carthago, the main one, is more mostly an underwater adventure, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah. And we haven't got this as a category this year, but Carthago also has the best cover this year, which they didn't use for the hardcover, but they're using for the softcover, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I like to think we've got a hand in that, dude.
I hope we do.
Yeah. Because
issue three, I think, of the cop. Is it five? It's one of the later ones, isn't it? Actually, there's a girl on like a raft, and underneath her, there's just this huge shape of the megalodon, and that's all it is.
Passing underneath, isn't
passing
it?
Passing underneath. Yeah, and it is,
because I know we sent this when we recorded it. We were critical, and as we have been a couple of times with the covers coming out of Humanoids, is that they're not representative of the stories that you're getting inside. Yeah. And I think the cover of the hardback was of a shark from a distance. Now, that could just be a shark, because there's nothing to show it in scale.
Yeah.
And I know that Tim Pilcher, who used to be the UK editor-in-chief of Humanoids UK, who are the people who produced these hardbacks, he wrote back to me and saying, oh, you know, thanks for giving it a shout. You know, I'm glad you really liked it. A couple of things he mentioned about what we said, and he said, look, I'll take full note about what you're saying about the covers. I completely understand where you're coming from. And then we noticed that the soft, like 2 or 3 months later, the soft cover comes out, and paperback cover comes out, and it's got the one we said it should be. So I know that Tim's moved on, but I like to think that he might have listened to us a little bit on that one.
I mean, I want that cover as a print on my wall.
That's a great cover.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing. So there you go. That's my art pick.
Oh, nice one. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Cool. I'm going to go with Goran Parlov. I know we're all big fans of his. I'll tell you what is a good sign as to whether I like some art from something or not is occasionally I'll screen cap something and I'll use it as the lock screen on my iPad. And the cover of Punisher the Platoon 3, which is the one where they're wading through the swamp, the one with the green on it and everything, was the lock screen for my iPad for a long time. Just like gorgeous, amazing. Parlov has got that. He falls between two places for me. He's got a realistic style, but he does it with almost a cartoony side to it. I'm going to say he echoes somebody like Alex Toth or even Alex Raymond, but he flashes over slightly to someone like Eduardo Risso, where the characters' faces are exaggerated, but not to the point where it becomes too cartoony. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So he can carry out. You see characters walking across a field in that, for example, and they're slightly exaggerated, ever so slightly.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys who, like Steve Dillon, who we lost this year, who, and certainly Steve did this on The Punisher, who can carry a story and the weight of a moment in the face of the person. So. He works. I wish people concentrated more on this rather than like what a gun looks like when you're firing it. I want them to show what the face is when something happens. You know, there's you've read The Platoon, haven't you?
Vince? Yeah. Oh god.
And there's moments, especially when you've got the old guys who are gathered in the sort of Las Vegas bar who are chatting about stuff, and the reactions on their faces are just incredible. I'd also go as far to say that, and this might be me reaching slightly, that you can see the reaction and the emotional content of a person almost in their eyes sometimes. He plays a lot on the blue eyes of Frank a couple of times to show innocence and stuff like that, being you know, a long time pre-Punisher, him becoming the Punisher in it. And just incredible stuff. And then I've loved him. Fury, my war gone by. I know Shane mentioned it when he came on the show as one of his favourite books, and I'll make him right on that. And he's got this incredible sort of, it's neither European nor it's American, but it's a combination of both that is so pleasing to the eye in style. I'm reading the Platoon in issues. I'm going to buy it in trade, and I'll probably, if they do an oversized hardback of it, I'll buy it in that as well.
Nice.
Yeah, it's one of those sort of books.
I've got watching it on my trade list. That one,
and him and Garth work so well together. They worked on The Punisher before, and they worked on Fury and stuff like that. And, you know, really, really lovely stuff. Yeah, just gorgeous. Yeah. So Goran Parlov is my one for that one.
There you go. Cool. So our next category is.
Did you want to do the shout outs now, mate? Should we do some shout outs now? I've got a couple before we move on to
Can
what do you think, guys? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you guys got any? Because I've got a list of fucking a few.
Well, my shout out this week is for a Kickstarter, actually.
Okay.
An artist that got in touch, and I'm going to murder his name, even though I've been trying to memorise it all day. It's Ted Knife. Yeah.
Awesome surname.
He's the artist that a lot of people out there will know him for, books like Gloom Cookie and Courtney Crump. Kin, I think, which is a book, which is a fantastic book. But he's got a Kickstarter for a book called Heroines, which is like a collected trade of an all-female superhero team, which is very much worth checking out. I've checked out a couple of issues of this on Comixology, and it's great stuff. And Ted's work is, his artwork is absolutely stunning. But he's creating some different characters with this and putting a different spin on it, and quite a witty spin on like the sort of superhero genre. So definitely we'll put a link in the show notes for the Kickstarter, because watch the video, there's plenty of artwork on the page so you can see what I'm getting at. It's about basically a female superhero who just finishes college, and she wants to start join a superhero team, but they're not really into it, so she decides to start her own, and the adventures of that. So okay. It's going to be a 200-page collection.
Oh, right, so, okay, cool. Yeah.
So check that out.
I'll look for that, yeah, definitely.
That sounds good.
Dan, did you have any shout-outs at all, mate?
None.
Okay. So, I'll plough into a few then. I've got, firstly, Good Night, John Boy, Read 'em and Weep, book 2's out, it's now on Kindle, from Pat Mills. Get that, that's brilliant, as we said before. My old table mate, Gareth Brooks, I met him at Gosh the other day, and he was we were a bit early for an event that was happening, so me and him just shopped about and chatted and stuff, and he started a Patreon. And he's, I'll tell you now, Gareth is an artist who will take his Patreon seriously and has been doing so, as evidenced by his output so far. If you go to, you can find him on Twitter at Brooks, which is BROOKES _ Gareth, and you'll get a link to his Patreon. Well worth it. I know David White and a few others have done it. Yeah, good stuff. We spoke about Jason Atomic earlier. Now, Jason, in company with Orbital, have got a Kirby exhibition on at the exhibition wing at Orbital Comics. It's got work in it by ex-guests Jason, Shaky Kane, and David Hine, actually. And it's just a sort of homage to Kirby, really. It's absolutely some breathtaking stuff there. And there's some Shaky Kane art on sale that is going for a song. Absolute song. If I wasn't going to be murdered for bringing home a big like canvas of Shaky Kane art, I would have bought something there. Just incredible. The other big thing is, Dan, you've got a little bit of a project coming out, haven't you? Just Going Live.
Oh, is, yes.
Yeah, is a prose novel that our very own Guns has done the superhero illustrations for. Yeah. It's Meta Worlds. It's published by Media Aria. And there's two stories in it. Silencer by a writer called C.D. Mick. And then Metamerc Investigations, which is by Harry Harris. Now, Harry is a friend of ours. And a good old egg as
yeah,
well.
He's a dude.
I was only chatting to him just earlier. Dan's done some illustrations for the interiors, and there's a cover by Cara McAvoy, who's killed it on the cover as well. Gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. It's available now on Amazon and the Book Depository in the US, and it will be going live on Amazon UK in a few weeks. And I've seen some of the publicity stuff and some of the and part of the novel, and it looks great stuff. I'm really, really looking forward to this coming out and hearing what everyone thinks. But I think Harry is going to be at True Believers with us, so I'm looking forward to chatting to him about it there. We'll probably have him on the show at some point as well, because he's a friend of ours, and bear in mind Dan has also taken part in it.
There's a scene in Vanguard where it's set in Paddington, and then he mentions a similar scene happens.
That's
in him.
That's right. He was telling us about that.
Yeah. If you're going to have like a saint kickoff in, you know, have a big police cell kind of thing, that's the one place my research said that's where you get, they're going to stick him.
Oh, okay. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just from a personal point of view, big shout out to everyone who has downloaded, listened, joined in conversations online or in person with us over the podcast. Yeah, it genuinely does mean a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to you two guys. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll talk about it later on the show, but yeah, thanks a lot to everyone who's interacted. You know you are. Yeah.
I have one shout out.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I did the artwork for this several months ago, but it's a short story that pops up on the Demon Archives, and it's called A Life in Whispers, and there's three parts. It's really good. I kind of was approached by Dan, the writer on Demon Archives, and he had another writer step in to do this three-part story. And after I got the first part, I was like, I want to read the second part now.
It's
fantastic. And then they're all three come in, and it's kind of like it's got pre-existing characters from the comic, but you don't have to have read the comic to read the story. And it's really well done. It's kind of really enjoyed it. It's one of the better short stories I read over all year. So
brilliant.
Check that out at the Demon Archives. If you put a thing in the show notes, but if you put A Life in Whispers in the Demon Archives, that'll pop up. It's excellent for the train journey into work.
Very good. And the other thing is something you and I've worked on is that we've got an article coming out, and this is, I think he let us know today that it's coming out on New Year's Eve, David Hathaway Price's fanzine, celebrating for over 50 years of comic fanzines in the UK. And me and Dan have, I've written a piece, and Dan's done some an illustration for it, and it will also be the first appearance of Cockney Kung Fu. And
that's fun.
Yeah, There's some amazing stuff coming in that. I think it's only going to be a digital download. I'm not sure if he's going to back up with a hard copy at the moment, but I'm looking forward to seeing that as well.
I think this year I didn't work myself to death as much as I did last year, which is a good thing. That the Assault on Fortress Doom fucking killed me last year.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to recreate that. That was terrible.
Right.
That workplace. But I don't know, the kind of when professional artists talk about their work life, I don't find that too appealing, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's like every single hour of the day, then some. But yeah, good luck to you. Keep doing it. Anyway,
so,
yeah. Because I love reading them.
Yeah, same as us. We're enjoying them. Keep on. Well, most of them. Yeah.
So we're down to our last three. So
three more.
What's the first one?
Next one, number 10, favourite publisher.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Big indeed.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first?
Shall I go first?
Go on then.
Okay. I'm going with Nobrow. I don't think it comes as a surprise to anyone who listens to the show. I think they are a company that should be seen as a fucking national treasure, to be fair. I think they put out consistently well-made, well-thought-out, intelligent and beautifully packaged books with... Just they take it. They sort of bravely take experiments. You know, they take chances on books that come out that you just wouldn't expect to see. And they are what a lot of the small press scene, especially the sort of Goss Comics crowd, should aspire to. I think they should be looking to those books and thinking, right, this is where I really should be going with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look at some of the books they put out this year. You've had Dawson Monsters, Dilraj Mann, who's is an exceptional book and a enthusiastic, friendly, you know, interesting, thoughtful creator. You've got the Hilda series, which by Luke Pearson, which
great,
just the perfect book. You know, it's like the Moomins brought up to date. It's got, you know,
forgot about that. That's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, doesn't pander to kids. You know, tells exciting stories. I mean, I read it and think, oh my God, I hope she's going to be all right at the end of this. And, you know, and I think what you've got is you've got the Netflix series coming up in, I think it's September, I think it comes out. And I follow them on Twitter and chatting to Sam Arthurs and Emma and Zoe and all the people there. It's going to be a big deal. I really do think the Hilda series is going to rocket this company up. To be noticed by people who should be noticing it. You've got Geish by Alexis Deakin. You've got Robert Moses, which I know we both talked about a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, Vince?
Yeah.
Out of Nothing by Daniel Locke and David Blandy. You've got Garbage Night by Jen Lee. But the thing is, what they do is they find these creators, they put books out with them. They take their. I'll be honest with you, they do take their time with it. Pantheon, I know, that came out by Hamish Steele. I got to see some of that, you know, well over a year before it came out, you know. They take care, they really curate their books, they edit them in a serious way. I think Sam does a lot of the editing of them, and they bring them out, but they bring them out in a hardback or in a sometimes in a later on in a softcover that is so affordable. You know, you've got an oversized hardback, which, you know, not name and shame anyone, but I thought about buying the Defenders trade paperback for my son the other day in Forbidden Planet, and it's four issues, and it was £16.50.
Oh, Marvel trades are ridiculous prices.
I mean, and it's like the thinnest trade paperback that if you put it on a shelf, you couldn't see it from 4 feet away.
Yeah.
And you've got these big, thick, sort of 200, 300 page, you know, hardbacks that are, you know, less than £20. That they do bring out. I know I've been harping on about them, and you've I've recruited you into the band of people that love them, Vince. Yeah. You know,
the quality.
They really,
you know, I'm all about the shelf porn and the quality of a book that goes on that shelf, and everything that Nobrow puts out has just impressed me so much.
Yeah.
You know, all the different. There's so many different styles of stories, and you know, there's something for everyone. But if you pick up a book, as soon as you pick it up, you know this is quality.
It's quality.
Yeah. Just the, even just the textures and the way it feels. It's just, you know, you're getting something that someone has cared about. How it's going to be on the shelves in the bookstores everywhere. It's just so professional. The whole thing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's an absolute complete no-brainer for me. Watch this company explode this year. People will. I know. A lot of our listeners have bought books by them. I know Chris and Laura mentioned Geish last week, didn't they?
Yeah.
Dalston Monsters got a lot of shout-outs this year in by people saying what they've enjoyed. I think people realise what a treasure they are to us, and you know how good they are. And they're a company that has a big base in, you know, I think it's London Fields, their office is, but they've also got a New York office, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're hardworking people, good people, and yeah. They also run LCAF as well, which is a brilliant and fun and really inspirational convention that I know a few of our listeners went to for the first time this year. I know Ken Reynolds popped down. And a few people have actually got tables due to what we've talked about because of it. And yeah, really good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Lovely. I was going to pick them, but I thought, no, right. you'll do a far better job than I will. So I went the digital route, and I picked a publisher. Is it a publisher? I think I count it as a publisher. Yeah. And that's Europe Comics.
Okay.
Who are basically the guys that are, you find them on Comixology. They're putting out the digital translations of lots of different, you know, European comics and trades that you wouldn't normally see. And that is, I mean, we've jumped down the rabbit hole of European books even more this year.
Yeah.
I mean, especially myself, you know, I've gone in head first, and it's started off with these guys in a sense, you know, the accessibility of it. They put out some of my favourite books of the year, Swordmaster and Isabelle. Tony, you mentioned one in one of your picks of the week not too long ago, wasn't it? I've forgotten what it was called.
Was it the one about the guy trying to meet women in Paris?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Other Man or The Good Man or something. Yeah, I can't remember the top of my head now. So, that's wacky stuff, but really well made. Yeah.
So it's not just, you know, they're not publishing a certain genre of book. This is just lots of different stuff. If you go to europecomics.com, you'll see just a massive width and breadth. I mean, I love Humanoids. I love Cine Book. You know, I'm experiencing all of it now. But Europe.
The other one I'd mention as well is Soleil, which is translation version of Delcor.
But Europe Comics had to get the pick because they really kicked open the door for me.
Yeah, it's well worth looking at on Comixology. You often get good deals on there.
Yeah, they
stuff
do some
well.
Great sales. They do some absolutely great sales in Comixology. So, yeah. There you go. That's mine. Europe Comics. Dan?
Nice.
It's going to be a bit. It's Matt Garvey, a small press creator.
Fucking hell.
I've gone really small press for this one. I think the guy's got a real lot of enthusiasm and energy, and he's just kind of cranking out the titles. He's a real kind of. This is what you should be doing if you're kind of doing small press. I think the idea of his kind of bringing out. He's not brought out all first issues, but kind of like testing the water with first issues and see what people like, and then go ahead with that. He's kind of, well, would you class Matt as a publisher?
I don't know. His own comics, I suppose, and he publishes different series.
So he's just a one-man industry, and I think he's doing it really well. So hats off.
That's enough love for that man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no more.
Yeah, if you want my opinion, he's a prick.
Personality aside,
we like his work, that's all we'll say.
This is up your table. What
so what is the next category?
Favorite graphic novel, another biggie,
right?
The last one, I always want to give a shout out to Amigo Comics because they put out Planet of the Demons.
I
love that. And Valiant, who we love more than life itself. Come on the show, please send us free comics. There you go.
Bought five fucking trades for 20, well, it was five or six trades for £20. Yeah. And then I bought those Vision ones, and that was over 20.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that fucking sticks in the craw. But Vision was excellent, so.
favorite graphic novel? Who wants to go first?
So I go first?
Go for it.
Yeah, I know this is from 2016. I don't really care what you think, generally.
But did you read it this year?
Read it this year, yeah. There you go. And it comes from a chance meeting I had with the creator at the Cartoon Museum, I think it was. I bumped into her. She was chatting to a friend of mine, and I got introduced to Rachel Ball, who's now been on the show. And it's The Inflatable Woman, published by Bloomsbury Press. Did you get a chance to chat to Rachel at Nottingham, Vince?
Briefly, but we'll have to get her on the show properly.
Yeah, she's quite funny, actually. She's one of those sort of...
Yeah, she definitely seemed like that.
a lot of people went and saw her and had a chat with her. If you looked at this on a shelf, or if you saw it in a shop, or if you went shopping with me, I would hazard a guess to say this is not the sort of book that you would think I would pick up. It's kind of like a, if you looked at it first of you think it's kind of a bit of like a gothic fairy tale kind of thing. And I know I talked a lot about it on the show after I had a read of it, and a bit like Periwinkle, it is a moving read. It's an emotional read, and it deals with the creator's encounter with breast cancer. But it does it in a very original, moving, but also funny and quirky way. It has a complete and utter level of honesty in the art and the words that you that will surprise you, and that you would aspire to create yourself. It looks like a fairy tale, and it's a strange combination of that, of a fairy tale of a character who wants to be a ballerina and can talk to monkeys and meets a sailor and falls in love, and or doesn't fall in love and has a relationship with him, and discovers she is also sick. And it's done. So a lot of it's the biggest. If you buy this in a shop, you're gonna have you'll have a sore shoulder by the time you get home, because it's also one of the biggest hardbacks out there. I would think in our little world. It looks like each panel, because a lot of the pages have a single panel on them. It looks like to me almost like one of these sort of political cartoonist type panels that you might see in maybe Private Eye or something like that occasion. But it is not. It's a sequential art, and it's at moments joyously funny and at moments heartbreakingly sad, and then at the end just incredibly life affirming with that final scene. I recommend it. It's one of those books I recommend a lot to people, and a book that I've gone back to and looked at occasionally. And it's nice because I've met Rachel now a few times, and we interviewed her for the show, and we met up with her at Nottingham, and occasionally I chat to her, and I'll run a few ideas past her on Facebook and stuff like that. And she's very thoughtful and interesting and quirky and funny creator, and I highly recommend The Inflatable Woman. There you go. That's my
awesome. What about you, Dan?
We've mentioned it already in the show, and that was impossible.
Yes.
Okay. I loved it. I bought it not knowing too much about it. LSCC show of Chris. He gave me a wallet, for me and you, Vince, a wallet full of prints.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just absolutely blown away. I loved it. I read it on the way home. And I've mentioned it a couple of times since, praised it and raved about it. And it's a really good read, and I can't wait to see more from him.
And published by Marcosia. Is that right?
Is it on Comic House as well?
I'm not sure, actually. I need to check that. Sure.
I know you can buy it from Comic House, the hard copies.
Right, okay.
So, I'm not sure if it's on the app thing.
I'll have to look, yeah. Good stuff. Very good.
Well worth it. I can't believe I'm going to mention Chris Sides again. but my he hasn't paid us, I swear. Well, only in love. With this graphic novel, it was one that he went to France, and I asked him, please, if you see this book, just get me the untranslated version. I can't read a word of French. I'm terrible with languages. But I wanted the actual original copy of this. Now, I read it via Europe Comics, and it is Swordmaster.
Yeah.
By Xavier Dorison and Joel Parnot. I read it earlier this year. I raved about it. It is one of the most beautiful books I've ever read. It's your standard sort of, well, I say standard. The hard copy I've got is 98 page, like a European annual, that sort of size hardcover. I was absolutely blown away. It's a historical adventure story, sort of set in the 1537, as it says, and it's about an old, basically like a blacksmith sort of swordsmaster who gets defeated in an unfair fight, and it's almost like an old man Logan kind of story. It's like the best of the best decides to go into exile, and then he's drawn back into this sort of battle,
fucking,
as it were,
shit up.
But it just absolutely blew me away. The artwork was just astonishing. I remember Chris very kindly managed to pick up a hard copy to deliver to me at London, and I briefly showed you guys some of the artwork that was on the inside, and you've got like mountain vistas and like just forests and trees, and it's basically one of the my favourite books that I've read in the past probably 5 to 10 years. I will say that, because the story was just so good. It doesn't linger. There's religious aspects to it, religious beliefs. There's action, there's adventure, there's political sort of stuff, that dealing with the fact that this guy is he knows he's past his prime, as it were, and you know, will he fade into the night or will he come back? His rival is just the build up the tension for them to finally meet again, and when it does, it's so satisfying.
So I must get around to reading this. I really must do.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's a shame that it's only financially viable for a lot of these European companies to put it out on digital, because they know that the hard copies won't get enough distribution, won't get enough sales. So there's so many books that you can get on Comixology that just won't get a translation.
This from Europe Comics, if you go to their website, it's in the bestseller section.
Right.
Of their website. So there's a reason this is a bestseller. You see a couple of pages of this and you need to read it.
Yeah.
This sounds like my cup of tea. It really does.
And it doesn't mess about. There's a sword fight in the rain at the beginning that is pretty gruesome, with a sword going through someone's face at the same time as a sword going through someone's arm, and it doesn't mess about. You see it and it's just glorious. But thankfully, as well as the beautiful art, there's a beautiful story to go with it. So, if you can read French, get your hands on the physical copy.
Yeah.
If you can't, please, please, please do get the digital.
Part of my thing is I'm trying to learn to read it. Purely because of comics and Rue Dante in Paris. I just want to go. I'm just desperate to go back there. There's a possibility I might get to Paris with work soon, and I know I'm literally going to get off the Eurostar and go and walk down there and just buy a suitcase full of stuff, because it's just so amazing the stuff they do.
So there you go, that is my pick of the year.
Cool,
awesome.
So there you go. Right, okay, is this the final category,
the final one?
It's been an epic adventure, but what is the final category?
Our final one is favourite series.
Yes.
So I'll let one of you two guys go first, if you don't mind.
Daniel?
Mine's going to be the same one for the three years running.
That's what this is.
Invincible.
Yes.
It's fucking great. I've saved up a load of issues, and I've been reading through them past couple of days, because I thought I want to try and get the ending like in one hit. And it's just a fucking rollercoaster ride.
Yeah.
It's just...
Has it finished now?
No. There's a few more issues left.
Oh, right. He's finished drawing it, isn't he? Because I sent you a screenshot, didn't I, the other day?
He's finished drawing it, but the issues are yet to come out. And someone asked me, Dan, why are you getting the single issues when you're buying the trades? It's like, well, I want to get the fucking story before it's spoiled. And I will get the trades, but I've got to know what happens. And you've seen all these beloved characters that have kind of been built up and gone through such massive character arcs and changed since you first met them, and what's befalling them now.
Yeah,
it's great. I mean, there's so many ideas here that people had based entire runs on of a character, and they're just like side characters, and this story plays out with them. It's such great, and the artwork from both Corey Walker and Ryan Ottley, this comes on leaps and bounds. Mm-hmm. Of course, I prefer Ryan Ottley over Corey. Not hating on Corey stuff, but kind of Ryan stuff is real my cup of tea. And Robert Kirkman as a writer on this, he's great, absolutely fantastic.
Good
stuff.
I hope it's a book that genuinely gets the props for what it has achieved.
What's it finish on, about 150? How many issues is it up to now, dude?
I think so, something like that. I have to check.
I think it's on about 146 at the moment, is it? 147?
Okay, cool.
The amount of changes there's a lot of comics, imagine you can pick up issue something and 150 later on and there wouldn't be too much change, but in this it's so radical. The characters from the start of the run to the end is completely different, and it's fantastic, brilliant stuff.
Cool. Awesome.
Can I go next?
Go for it.
Okay, I'm going to go, this is a series that has run on and off since I was a teenager, and imagine, if you will, spotty me at boarding school writing "All Magic is Green" on the back of his fucking exercise book. And that was the original series, which was Mage, the Hero Discovered.
Mm.
And then in the 90s, we had Mage, the Hero Defined. And now we've got, I think we're about to get issue 5 of Mage, the Hero Denied, by Matt Wagner. It's a fucking incredible feat of his. I don't think Matt Wagner gets enough props. I think people see him kind of in the Eric Larson sort of style of art.
Yeah.
Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah.
He's done some incredible stuff across all the companies, but this is the one that you really feel that Matt's heart is in. And it's almost autobiographical. The Kevin Matchstick, who is the central character, has gone through an awful lot. He's gone from being this sort of everyman character who discovers that he is the Pendragon. So he has he's got like a baseball bat that lights up and is basically Excalibur. And he goes around bashing up demons. And then this is like almost like Mage the Wilderness years. This runs right at the end of his life, or what you think might be the end of his life. And it looks like Matt Wagner. You know, he's aged the character through the years, where he's a bit more filled out, you know, he's a bit more jowly and older looking, and he's got a family and he's trying to defend his son. And Matt he sticks into it, sort of demons that fight him, and they're really original. They're not like anything else you see in other series. And the demons slowly are getting worse, and you think, and you, I'm reading this now, I mean, it's a 15, each series is a 15 issue run, and this is sort of four or five issues into it, and I'm thinking, is he going to bite it at the end of this? Is he going to die at the end of this one? Because this is the third, you know, all the time, every, you know, sort of comics rumor site has been saying, oh, he's definitely working on the third one, or he's definitely working on the second one. And the first one was quite earthy, quite dark, an origin story, the way he was never entirely successful in doing fucking anything in his life. The second one was a sort of road trip, which was a bit more sort of brightly colored, a bit more sort of cartoon, TV cartoon sort of series, and this one is definitely a lot darker. You know, he knows how tough he is now. He knows what he can do, and he's just like fighting his way through life, surviving, staying away from being killed or being traced by people. He can use the magic powers to get cash out at the cash point, and you know, and he turns the wheels into shields, and you know, defeats monsters that are stalking him who want to make their reputation by fighting him. And there's these other heroes that hang about, or characters with powers, and he just sort of laughs at them and think, yeah, and you think you're the shit, you, whatever, and then he just goes on his own way. So it's a really interesting story. It's weird that I've chosen two books about characters who I've loved over the years who are reaching the end of their lives, you know. next week it'll be R.I.P. Tony, but it's a really interesting read, and I highly recommend. They've done some nice trades of it. Image have got the rights to it at the moment. Matt's with them. Originally it was Kamiko, but it's all over to Image now, and they put the recent trades out. Jump on it. I think you can probably find the first four issues quite cheaply. Yeah, really good stuff, and he's worth following on Facebook, because he puts out a lot of process about how he works covers and angles and characters and stuff like that. I think you'd like it, Dan, especially. I think it's a series that would definitely be up your street.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's one of those ones I've always seen over the years, and it's kind of like it never had got that in, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I get you. Yeah. It's a fairly simplistic story told with an awful lot of character work, I suppose. You know, man fights demons, but he is this likeable, real life kind of character. He's sort of an older guy, and he's got a bit of an earring on the go, and you know, he's wearing a leather jacket, and you know, taking his kids to the shops. While he takes his kids to the shops, they get attacked by demons. You know, it's that sort of
thing. As you do.
Yeah, definitely. You've been to Lidl recently. But yeah, it's that sort of thing. Yeah, good. That's my one. Mage.
Nice.
Nice one.
Right, my fave series at the moment is written by Donny Cates, who's actually the co-creator, and who's on quite a sort of head of steam at the moment, Donny Cates.
Yeah, he is. He's the hotness.
He is the hotness, yes. The other co-creator is Gary Brown, who is the co-creator and artist. We've got Mark Englert and Taylor Esposito are the other creators on it. And this is Baby Teeth from Aftershock Comics.
Yeah.
We've had six issues of it so far. And to put it in a nutshell, it's the story of a teenage girl who's given birth to the Antichrist. but it's less the Omen. And in some ways, it's almost more like the sort of atmosphere of it and the tempo of it is more like a sort of action film in some kind of ways, like an action thriller. It's got some really nice horror elements, and I know Donny Cates, he's writing Doctor Strange at the moment, isn't he, as well?
Yeah, and Thanos.
And he's been getting a lot of props, and I haven't read those books, but just from this alone, he's got such a mastery of sort of dialogue and character. There's a real humour in it that a lot of great horror always has a nice slight touch of, you know, the humorous in it, or like the absurdity, and this is great. And there's one that, I mean, but it's not all Donny Cates, because Gary Brown as well as co-creator, he's got such a great sort of scratchy sort of artwork. The first six issues, there's a nice sort of arc and it leaves a nice cliffhanger. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. I know, for instance, Sarah Harris, it's one of her personal favourite series as well, I think. I highly recommend it. It's not, even though it's about the Antichrist, there's probably a lot of people going, oh, I don't read horror books. But it's not like that. This is a book that's accessible to all, and it's just great. You've got people hunting after the girl and the child, both the sort of like satanic people and other people who are interested in it. So there's lots of mysteries involved as well. So, and I love that. I love finding out more. It answers questions and then gives you some more questions, but not in a really frustrating way, in a satisfying way.
Okay. So,
yeah, Baby Teeth is one that, the best way to judge it is every week it comes out, it's downloaded, and it's read immediately. That's
cool.
That's the sign of a book that you have to put near the top of your list, isn't there?
So, in fact, I saw Donny Cates at New York last year, and I think he sort of swam by and said hello to everyone, and I said to Lambo, I said, who's that? And he said, oh, it's Donny Cates. And I said, oh, like, hot new thing. And he said, well, no, he's actually a really nice guy. And then I met him at the following day. I met him at the... he was writing a Star Trek book, and I met him at the Star Trek signing on the IDW table, which I covered for Down the Tubes. And he was a super nice guy, properly turned this fan's head with how nice a guy he was. And whenever I've seen him interviewed and stuff like that, you know, good guy. And he's writing with a lot of originality, and he's capable of writing superheroes and horror and sci-fi and, you know, sorts of things all in one go.
He's got that feel to me of a writer that in a couple of years, you know, Marvel gives someone the reins of a big... you know, the event.
Yes, yeah, he'll the next Nick Spencer or Jason Aaron. Or,
yeah, he'll be doing that in a couple of years. So so there you go.
Nice.
There you go, folks. So much to check out and see and do and read and sing about. don't know about you, but I'm knackered.
What I was looking forward to tonight, though. I missed last week. I was fucking
me too,
down in the dumps. And I couldn't really say to you, oh, I'm really fucked off, we're not recording, because Vince was about to kill Virgin Media. I didn't want to say it, so I thought, oh no, it's bored on a Sunday night, what are we doing? I know. I mean,
after 2 years.
We were going to have a good grump as well, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. Our next episode, we're going to probably have a funny little grumpy old men.
Yeah, it's going to be the Scrooged episode, isn't it? Just for Christmas.
To see out the new year, actually, because this will probably be the. Is this going to be the Christmas episode?
This isn't. No, we've got one more, haven't we?
Have we?
Yeah, next Sunday is Christmas Eve, isn't it? So,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
But
I mean, let's face it. Who's going to listen? Who's going to listen
on Christmas Day?
Who's going to listen?
I presume most
Day?
People would listen to Christmas Day before the Queen's speech.
Oh well, Well, no, they listen to us over the Queen's speech. Yeah, you know what I mean? Come on. Prioritize, people. Prioritize.
Perhaps we could do a live reaction. No, we won't do that. Jump on that bandwagon.
Don't make more work. Yeah, we'll have reaction videos.
Bandwagon butcher.
Oh dear.
Should we do a reaction video to a porno film one day?
Oh.
Dear. And just say things like, "I didn't expect that."
Jesus.
Things like that. Yeah.
Is that normal?
Do you out there, like me, think that that is a terrible idea? Well, there's several different ways you can get in touch with us.
Different ways.
Please email us at awesomecomicspod@gmail.com or tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Right, and remember those emails, because for our anthology, which is going to be out in the new year, we're going to have a 2-page letters section.
Oh, yes, forgot about this.
Yes, we're going to have a letters page. Now, we want fairly sensible ones, people. But we, for the first issue, we want your letters. Ideally, to ask us about what the hell do you think you were doing when you did this bloody anthology. But yes, send us any questions you have about what we're doing. Or, I mean, I think it's probably better to be on point with the actual project itself, isn't it, really? Rather than the show, because there's going to be lots of people.
Yeah, I'm also into like the downright insulting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, send us what you
want. There's going to be adult content in the book, isn't
there? There is going to be adult content in the book, so these two will probably swear like absolute troopers in their responses. But we want your
letters.
Please
send new photographs through as well, because we will publish them.
Oh, God. Here we go. But yeah, awesomecomicspod @gmail.com is where you can send your letters. And we'll let you know more about the project in the next show. Shall we talk about it probably next week? Yeah.
Yeah, good idea. After you have a grump.
Yeah, we'll have a grump, and then we'll bring the mood back up again. And then
we'll give gifts of the story. I try and work in the Christmas metaphor. It didn't really work. No.
But we all appreciated it, Dan. And, and we'd appreciate it if you followed us on Twitter @TheAwesomePod.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. If you like, please like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. Join the fantastic group, Awesome Comics Talk, where... there's something always on the go there. I lose track of it.
Yeah, there's loads on there at the moment. Yeah, people are putting out free comics, like, what do you think of this? Yeah. There's a lot of people putting their artwork up for upcoming books and saying, what do you think? Anyone got any thoughts? And there's been nothing that's, like, turned into an argument so far, which I'm very proud of people for.
Mm. Yeah. 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 We're very proud of all of you, so keep it up.
Yes.
Yes. And, we're going to keep up this very show. I'm not in the dark ages anymore, so we're back on track for the new year.
Yeah, we'll be pulling your trousers down on a week.
I mean, to be honest, 2017 was that kind of year. You know, it was going to end like this, wasn't it?
We got a big year coming up, boys. Yeah. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we've got
true believers
year.
And lots rolling on from that. Yeah.
But I'll be glad to be done with this year, because I kind of felt like Hans Gruber at the end of Die Hard, just holding on to that watch, just thinking, oh no, the strap's coming undone.
So he's Tony, John McClane.
Yeah, and you're his wife. So
you love him that best.
That's fine.
Thank you for listening to us, whether it's on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, please leave a review. If you listen to us anywhere, leave a review. Just to tell anyone about us, because in the new year, we're going to push for even more listeners. Yes.
Yeah,
we're going to
come on,
get four.
It's going to double digits.
And if you listen to us on any of the networks, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, Tony, what other networks?
Podarse, Podblumpkin, that's a good one.
There you go, that's another new one. then thank you very
much. Alaskan Highway. What's the other one?
Here we go. It's at this point where Tony just keeps saying names and I just fade him out.
Alabama Hot Pocket.
Oh, here we go. thank you very much for listening, folks. Now, where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
Ezoyz on Twitter. neverironanything.blogspot.co.uk is where I'm putting a lot of stuff. But please come and sign up to tinyletter.com/cockneykungfu. What we're doing with it, myself and Nick, is we are expanding the universe that you will get in the anthology. So there's essays going up that features the backstory of characters who might even only appear in one panel, about the little adventures or their lives and what happens to them. And this week there was a funny story about me doing a poo. So there you go, sign up.
Awesome. A classy dame. And where can people find you, Dan?
You can find me on Twitter @VanguardComic, and you can read Vanguard @VanguardComic.com. It's going to be the last page of the year this Wednesday or Thursday. So,
nice.
Read that.
You can find out more about my comic at theredmouseFromMars.com, and you can follow me on Twitter @JesterDiablo. So there you go. What a show.
Nice one.
What a show.
Yeah.
Go.
I'm going to
roll on
2018. Yeah. Yeah.
We've been going 2.5 years now, boys. You know that, don't you? It's good going, isn't it?
I know. Yeah. I'm still here.
Didn't they say most of them peter out in the first half year?
Yeah, usually. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing we had a massive technical issue, which made me want to hurt people. But we're over that now. We're over that now. So,
go away and pleasure yourself.
I will. So thank you for listening, folks. Hope you have a lovely festive period, whatever you're doing between now and Christmas, etc. And from Dan, Tony and myself, why don't one of you two sign off this week?
What do we say again?
Absolutely fucking useless. Have a brilliant week, and as always, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.